Splendor, Guido Weasel, and Ass Clown just barely sleazing. Quiggus, we can rebuild it. We have the Order Zogbox. We have the capability to make the world's first bionic Ass Clown. Alex Linder will be that bionic Ass Clown. Dumber than it was before. Anal. Vulgar. Ass Clown. Greetings, Zogling, Wigger, and Mamzer Ass Clowns across the fruited and nutted Zog Plain, in the open air, coast to coast nut house that we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final. And also, to my true audience, the found sheep, and also the lost sheep who are looking to save themselves, of the house of Jacob Israel. Greetings. Now, the chat time for this show, episode number 85, was on August 28th, 2011. And after some consideration, I decided to go ahead and give the title to this show as the 666 Zogbucks Guido Weasel. Because what I really wanted to cover was Alex Linder's going back to, it looks like he's going to be giving testimony against Keith Harpham, or Joe Snuffy, whatever you call him, who was one of his little tards on VNNF for the Spokane Martin Luther Kong backpack bombing, or the bionic backpack. But what I had done earlier in that Sunday show was I had gone ahead and trolled the crap out of Morris Gullett, and his other little goober, Alan Truitt. And essentially, I think they're a bunch of Zog bots as well. Gullett went to prison for 5.5-6 years for nothing more than, essentially, he's just a stupid criminal. He's just a drunken cokehead or crackhead who essentially got the notion that he would rob banks in Alabama, and he took another tard with him named Scott Charles Thornton, or Charles Scott Thornton, who I think is probably an Anglo mestizo and is now a creatard, but, and I think is a snitch as well. And you have a lot of this stuff here. You have another rat named Alan Truitt, was going ass to mouth, first with Eli James, then with, then with Finkelschini. And I think this character is just another goober, another criminal goober, looking to get people in trouble as part of a deal in order to get out of prison. And folks, I will go ahead and do a, later on, I'll go ahead and do a show, which I go ahead and, for about 20 minutes, fight with Gullett and Alan Truitt. They invited me on. I pretty well made my points. They were yelling and screaming. And it's pretty telling that Gullett has not learned a single thing from being sent to prison. He still thinks it's all your fault for not giving him enough money, so he had to go ahead and rob banks, or try to rob banks. He never actually robbed one. He just got caught real quick. And the man's a total dork. Alan Truitt, another criminal. I mean, I think I'm going to call them Gomer and Goober. I'm not quite sure which one's Gomer. I think Gullett would be Gomer, and Goober would be Truitt. Secondly, I went ahead and did another show with the news guy on Radio Free Nimnuts, or Nimbusters. News guy, Peerless Mamzer, whatever you want to call him. And he wanted to know something about August Christ, who recently, about 2 weeks ago, went ahead and pled guilty to supposedly defrauding the Navy pension fund because he was sick in poor health, and he used to be in the Army during the Vietnam War. Now, he didn't last very long in the Army. And, folks, I'm going to go ahead and sort of give a sort of a tribute to August Christ, although I didn't really think that highly of August Christ. But I'll go ahead and probably cut that show out. So it'll be numbers 84.7, maybe 84.9, something like that. And it'll be before episode number 85, of course, numerically. But I have to go ahead and get this show off. I'm going ahead and falling behind again. So I want to go ahead and get that done. But I do go ahead and mention a number of these previous trollings. I have Russ Walker on. I go ahead and talk to him for close to an hour. And pretty well I end it with Alex Linder acting up. And later on I went ahead and made a parody of the $6 Million Man theme song. And, you know, when it went ahead and started the show, and called the 666 Zogbuck Squeedo Weasel. You know, about how we can rebuild this sleazy little Guido Weasel. We can make him the bionic ass clown. So, folks, I'm going to go ahead and head into the show. It's going to be a little bit over 3 hours. I should have released it a week or so ago. So, well, better late than never, but I do need to catch up. So anyway, I hope you enjoy this episode, number 85 of the Boom and Turd. Hail victory.
Yes, I admit, we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro. Stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Till the drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro. And they're always easy drop. I wake up and right away. Stupid wiggers come to mind. The way they run to and fro. Stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit, we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro. Stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build the drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro. And they're always eating drop. Wiggers keep remembering how good Zog used to be. Being caught long ago, our freedom's memory. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro. Stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build the drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro. And they're always easy drop. The way they run to and fro. And they're always eating drop.
Greeting, well, not Zogling, Wigger, and Manzer Ass Clowns, although some of you may have snuck on, but greetings to the lost and the found sheep of the House of Israel. Now, tonight is the Movement Turd number 85. I'm not quite sure what to call it, but the most important thing I probably would call it would be about how Linder is probably going to about, you know, probably drop the shekel on poor old Keith Harpham, because he does the same thing that he did when he dropped the shekel on poor old Command Dork Bitch Tits Bill White back on December 15, 2009. Essentially, he didn't need to go ahead and collect all this data, but he did. And he knew that old Bitch Tits Bill was going to have a trial. He could have got rid of this ISP or IP number and all this other stuff that the NSA already knew. But they needed somebody, they needed Judas to go ahead and tie it to poor old Bitch Tits Bill. And essentially, Linder was the Judas. He was the gut-sick Guido Judas, you know, weasel with Jew-ass cancer. And he went ahead and testified for the prosecution. And later on, I went ahead and accused him of essentially data mining. I'm sure that he does. I mean, I think that's the whole purpose of the NNF. But Linder is going back to running like a tard. He's going after these, oh, sort of characters who think they can go mainstream and deal with the conservative party, like old Cunt Hair Wallace, Brad Griffin, Fade the Butcher, whatever you want to call him. So he's insulting Fade the Butcher. He's also insulting Greg Johnson. Now, what he did when it got turned out that he had snitched, he went ahead and got old Jim Roid Rage Retired Giles to go ahead and invite old Fade the Butcher on, and essentially ambushed him there to, do you know Greg Johnson is a homosexual? Well, old Cunt Hair probably knew that, yes, Greg Johnson was a homosexual. He lives in San Fags, Crisco. But the thing about it is everybody's sort of wondering, why do you make a big deal about a homosexual in San Fags, Crisco? Anyway, now, folks, in a dual seed line Christian identity regime, if you are homosexual, you would better stay very, very, very closeted, and you better not be caught doing something you shouldn't. But on the other hand, we don't run a police state. We don't spy on what people do in their bedrooms. We don't spy on what people think. Because we're of the blood, not like the leftists are of conditioning. We're of the blood. And essentially, if you have no Jews, and you have no niggers, and you have nobody else like that, any problems against any government is just simply a matter of some people think they could do a better job than the people who are running it. In which case, they should have freedom of speech to go ahead and, you know, state their case as to why they can do such a better job than the current regime. Now, also on the other hand, though, no current regime, which is run on racial principles, is going to go ahead and put such things to a vote to where, yes, we're going to have a majority vote to let in niggers and mamzers and Jews and faggots and all this other stuff. But essentially, once it's of a society which is of the blood, generally we do not have a police state. Don't believe in a police state. Ancient Israel did not have a police state. Now, of course, when we do have power, Jesus Christ will be, well, here on earth. So therefore, in many cases, and Satan will be in a pit for 1,000 years, so in many cases, it really won't matter. Although, parenthetically, I note that in Revelation chapter 20, verse 7 through 10, when Satan is turned loose, Satan certainly has no shortage of people who will encompass the camp of the saints, the holy city, and essentially Yahweh will just finish him off. So that's pretty well what I've done in the movement. Today is pretty well find out which side people are by trolling, and I've done a good deal of trolling. So What's wrong with Jim Giles? Well, Jim Giles is a roid rage retard who essentially was pissing and moaning about Edgar Steele for no other reason than Edgar Steele essentially slid him once or twice, and he was out to try to find or prove Edgar Steele guilty. He had had the loveless mattoid meerkat or David Scott Spidell or Scott David Spidell, you know, whatever the hell this tard's name is. And essentially, old Scott seems a little bit of a faggy meerkat to me. I mean, essentially, you go ahead and give him one or two good head thumpings, and if he doesn't figure it out quick, why, hey, there's nothing you can do about it. Is there? But in any case, I mean by roid rage retard, I mean essentially he has not had an original thought since the age of 17 or 18. He probably does take steroids. His testicles are the size, probably a pencil eraser's. He has, like Harold Covington, gone beyond the surly band of rationality. Harold Covington didn't mind him. I didn't much care for him. And essentially, I went ahead and knew that he did not like Edgar Steele, and I got him to yell and scream about snapping a lawyer's neck. And then I got him all mad at me because I went ahead and told him that a lot of people think he's a federal informant. Well, hey, if you go ahead and you write a letter to the federal prosecutor saying that so-and-so has been violating the conditions of his parole, yes, in my book, you are a snitch. He went ahead and was going to interview this character, and rather than when he found out that the guy had one of his conditions of release, they couldn't go ahead and call, you know, internet. Yeah, hello, Russ.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, well enough. I've been trolling like crazy on the internet.
I believe it.
Well, yes, you got to see me trolling probably yesterday at Eliar's. You can't, you know, troll Finkelsheenies, but I did get a few, you know, lines in. Today I got a line in on the Sword Mamser show. I said, you know, where's old nigger lips? You know?
How'd you do that? As soon as
No, it was before Sword Mamser came on. Sword Mamser came on late here. So as a result, you had Philip PA. I called him Filipino.
Only 9 people, 11 people listening to him, so they're way down in listeners.
Well, Swordmanser has a bunch of them. See, what you have, though, is that you will have what I call the Mamser Tart, you know, patrol. They will go to Eli James, and they'll go over to Finks, and they'll go to Eli James, they'll go to Finks. But today I had a big fight with Morris Gouette and Alan Truitt on their Aryan Nation show.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yes. They invited me to call in, so they called in. They muted me a couple times. And essentially,
I'd love to have heard it. I don't know what it's even in there.
It should be in there. I'm going to go ahead and, and essentially they end up losing, so then they went ahead and blocked every single guest. They pulled a Finkelsheenie on the thing here. And then I went ahead and called the news guy show, the Nimbuster Radio. They were asking about August Christ and my take on him, and I said that August Christ was not a vicious character. He's just sort of greedy and stupid and he's lost a leg and one foot. He lost a leg and, you know, a foot here.
How'd that happen?
Well, he has diabetes real bad. I guess he's got big and fat or something like that. So, what you end up happening is that had a big old blow up with Truitt. I went ahead and found out a number of things about Truitt. I thought Truitt might be, since he's in St. Charles, that he might be in... they might have been a criminal in Missouri or Illinois, but no, he turns out he's from Texas. So which goes ahead and gives me the question is, why is Gouette, if Gouette is still on probation, why is Gouette allowed to talk to ex-felons? Usually you're not. But essentially, Truitt is going with Eli James, he's going with Fink. He's just another... Yeah, I think he's probably an Anglo Mestizo.
I got negative feelings about those guys last night in that program. I mean, say, when he muted me for no reason, because he's worried about what Ethan24 said, I mean, this is bullshit. And any rate.
Well, the thing about it is, I found out quite a bit, and essentially, why are you so mad at me? You have these people, why are you so mad at me? I said, well, first of all, I have a problem with Mamzers and Jews getting into Christian identity. I have a big problem with that. You don't belong in Christian identity. You don't belong in a white society, much less within Christian identity. And certainly, you don't belong in a religious, sect whose belief is that Jews are the spawn of Satan and that Mamzers are unclean abominations. Why are you here if essentially you believe in what you say you do believe? And the answer is that these people, trolling Dan Johns. It turned out that, hey, Dan Johns admitted that Brian Real and was at Eli James and Bill Finks when they got shut down in June of 2009 when I first made the acquaintance of Bill Fink. And essentially, Bill Fink and Eli James, they were able to see Brian Real, and they were able to see that he was a Mamzer. Same way with Alan Truitt. Why are you taking a picture of Eli as if he looks like a, Eli James? I've never met him, I've never seen him here. Anyway, and so they did see him in person. Why are you taking a picture of a Muslim? I said, you idiot. Eli James uses that picture on his talk show page. Eli James says that picture is of him. You are arguing that this guy who looks like a Muslim to you is not Eli James. Well, it looks like we got our own little troll, guest number 8, Lucky Lindy Venus Kisser. And folks, I'm not going to go ahead and pull out Truitt or Eli James or Finkelschini. Essentially, the only rule I have is you can troll all you want, but you can't spam. You can't go ahead and hit the keys over and over and over and again.
I find this phrase troll to be very offensive. What it comes down to is people have an opinion which they disagree with. And Fink and these guys have used every excuse in the world to protect themselves from criticism. They say it's a private conversation. That's a bunch of manure.
Well, it's not a private conversation, no.
The FCC goes over public wires and everything else, all kinds of easements and everything else.
Well, it's not really an FCC call. It's not really broadcasting, but what it is that it's sort of like all these people, like Brian Real, so you cannot use my picture that's on Facebook, even though millions of people may see it, because, no, it's my picture. It's my picture. My. I can go ahead and shut down web pages because you've used my picture, violation of copyright, which is nonsense. But essentially, what they are is that they are, if they wanted a private conversation, they would not get on TalkShoe.
That's right.
And have a show here. And it's not a private conversation.
That's right. Anybody can get in talk show.
Yeah.
As a guest or as a signed person. And that's just one of their lies they use. They use the phrase troll as a way to stop criticism of any particular position.
Well, when I went ahead and looked, after I found out that, Fink had essentially lied to me, and John Britton didn't really care, but essentially lied to me, he'd gone ahead and put this, quote, private forum, so private that only me, John Britton, and Fink, and maybe Matt Twatzogbot could see it, and he lied to me, and he was gloating like a criminal about it. Essentially, I went ahead and did a little show, Movement Turd, called I Got Fucked at Finkelschini's, or Fucked at Finkelstein's, and Fink was saying, How dare you blaspheme against me? And essentially, it's just like a Jew saying that essentially I've gone ahead and gone against Dog. I've blasphemed them, these holy Jews. And essentially, that's the way Fink does it. That's the way Brian Real thinks of it. And that's the way Eli James thinks of it. Although Eli James, you control him a good deal more because he's far more affable. And he got far more, he has far more Israelite mannerisms than what Fink does. But
that's
they,
incredible.
they, Yeah, I mean, essentially,
he's a greater respect for freedom of speech than Fink. Fink and those guys are so terrified of any commentary which tears them apart.
Yeah, well, guess number eight. You know, I may end up letting, you know, the nimnuts go ahead, because guess number eight, probably, if he wanted to go ahead and shut me down, could, you know, I mean, it's quite possible that they've already bitched to Brian Reel, and Brian Reel's probably all bitched to talk to you about this show. And essentially, I might sometime soon go ahead and let the link go ahead and get on. I went ahead and told the news guy, and he still has a show about that. And essentially, news guy, he wants to go ahead and have control over the show, so he does go ahead and mute me until he's ready to have me speak. And it's sort of hard because a lot of people say, well, it's my show, not Linstead's show. And I'm very bad at interviewing, but...
Who's the news guy? He
calls himself Peter Goodman. I've called him Peerless Goodmans of you know, Radio Nimnuts. And he's called himself Radio Nimnuts. It's the guy who's probably the most affable, who gets on talk show to do the Nimbuster thing. And essentially, the big news was that last week, this past week, August Christ, I think on Tuesday, went ahead and pled guilty to, well, essentially defrauding this naval pension thing. Now, if you go ahead and look at what it actually said, you get the feeling that if it had been just some old doofus hippie character here who'd scammed a couple thousand dollars off the system, why, they had just gone ahead and chewed on his butt or maybe made him pay it back. But essentially what they did is that he's August Christ. He was on Jerry Springer's show. He insulted Jerry Springer's mother and grandma by saying that they were in the trunk of his car. He's a big Aryan Nations or weirdo or maniac or something like that. And from what I gather, in 2005, he had, when they went ahead and looked, they found out he had $33,000. And news guy was sort of wondering if August Christ was not with Hal Turner, essentially accepting money to do that. And it's possible with August Christ. I went ahead and pointed out, is that August Christ has run his own so-called faction of the Aryan Nations pretty well. He's not really a psychotic criminal. He's not a snitch. I mean, I'll grant him that. He hasn't really snitched, as far as I know, on anybody. You know, it's possible, but I've never known that anybody snitched, although he's allowed a bunch of snitches to run wild under his so-called supervision. But what he is, he's a sort of a mooch. You know, John Britton told me a story about how he went out to this Aryan Nation Congress in Hyden Lake, which is on the panhandle of Idaho, from Pennsylvania, and I'm not sure where Potter County, Pennsylvania is. It's probably
northern Pennsylvania, a very rural area.
Yeah, I mean, if you drive across Interstate 80, you know, you see trees. I mean, it's Pennsylvania. It's Penn's Woods.
Right.
It's a big state, 300 some miles across, but it's screwed up because they count the exits not by the mile, but by, you know, the exit number.
Right.
But essentially, it's not that bad, and I didn't mind driving across Interstate 80, and it was rural. I mean, I loved crossing, you know, through to the Delaware Water Gap, getting out of New Jersey, you know, to Pennsylvania, and crossing, you know, the... I never took the turnpike if I could help it, because I didn't want to pay money, and then have a time receipt as to where I was, so I can go ahead and,
sure,
you know, use the logbook. So, well, I used to go ahead and take Jersey produce, i.e. garbage, from Lyndhurst, New Jersey.
Wow.
And Lyndhurst, it's New York City garbage and Jersey garbage.
Sure.
And what happens is that you have the meadowlands, and they're flat. They're flat. They're just flat, just a whole bunch of real tall grass from a sort of a swamp or from a marshland. It's called the meadowlands. And you have 6 foot tall grass or taller. And I one time seen when it got dry and it burnt, and it didn't take more than 20 seconds to burn it all out. But it comes back, it's, you know, and that's where you have Giant Stadium, once delivered a load of stuff to JAG Enterprises, which was something Anthony Gambino, you know, and so they said, don't worry about being robbed in, you know, in Jersey. Nobody's going to touch a truck with that load going to the Gambino family from South Carolina.
I guess so.
Yeah. So, essentially, it was a crappy looking place, but all of New Jersey looks, a lot of New Jersey looks crappy. There's the good sections, and then there's,
sure,
you know, bad, bad, nasty sections. So, anyway, getting on with it, let me see. I guess the raid is trolling me. Oh no. Anyway,
you didn't send me an email, so I couldn't get on. I couldn't get on to your.
I sent an email. I sent an email at the very last minute.
Okay.
It's probably there. It's just that literally I was over on the news guy show talking about August Christ, and essentially he's lost his leg and he's lost both feet to diabetes. And about not quite 2 months ago, essentially they went after him for supposedly defrauding this pension fund. He got money, and he misstated his income, and somebody was saying that there was $33,000. They was wondering if there was a Hal Turner connection, and I said, well, I don't know. Because, Christ has always been a sort of marginal figure. He's not really known as a hard worker. He's just known as just a another one of these tards who just go from hand to mouth. Pastor John Britton told me a story about how he went from Potter's, Pennsylvania, all the way to the Panhandle of Idaho, went there, attended the Aryan Nations thing here, and then what he did is he tried to get, pass around the collection plate. He said, well, this old junker I got won't make it back to Pennsylvania. I need to have it fixed. And Newman Britton was annoyed at him and chewed on his ass, but Newman Britton provided some money, but not John's Uncle Jack. Uncle Jack wanted to give old August something to remember him by, just a quick ass whipping here. But what happens is that nobody would let him do it. But his Uncle Jack didn't give him any money. He says that, old Augie is just a freaking mooch. He comes all this way here, drunk a car. He expects us to pay it back to Pennsylvania here. I mean, we didn't really invite him. He just showed up here to mooch. And essentially, that's the way he's been, is that, what his downfall was in 2004, after Butler died. Well, anyway, he was in rebellion, him and Wickstrom and Ray Redfern were in rebellion against Butler. They formed their own faction, and then Ray Redfern figured out, well, hey, I mean, I'm not getting anywhere with August Christ and, Wickstrom. So he went back to Butler, and Butler went ahead and made him his successor. And then, there were a lot of people who were mad about Ray Redfern because in 1996 he let this snitch named Dave Hall get in, and old Dave Hall was a criminal, just another dope-using criminal who had a bunch of nigger nieces and nigger nephews, and essentially he got in there and did some snitching, but he didn't really do anything against Ray Redfern. Ray Redfern was getting in trouble by himself, and what happens is that somebody went to jail over supposedly a plot to blow up or kill Morris Dees or something like that, and I think they got, 5-year sentence, and they only served about, 18 months of it or something. And about this time, old Morris Gillette screwed up. He beat his wife, who had been married by a Newman Britton, and essentially Ray Redfern said that was the last straw, beat Gillette's ass and kicked him out of the Aryan Nations and would not let him come back. And essentially, here's Gillette claiming to be Aryan Nations when he's not. I mean, he's been kicked out of the Aryan Nations by Butler and Ray Redfern. But, the thing about Ray Redfern is that there's a lot of people who think he died of a heart attack, but he died because he took a cocaine overdose. So, that's the sort of characters we have had. And as far as I'm concerned, pretty well the Aryan Nations is founded by Butler's line of ministers died with Butler, And essentially all these criminals, well, essentially all they are is just criminals. They're snitches. So I had a big fight with Alan Truitt. I had a big fight with Gillette. And I said, my problem with them is I have a problem with somebody who's so stupid. You know, don't give me this crap about how you went to prison for your church's sake. You had enough money. You know, you had enough money, although they weren't giving it to you, from Harold Groom's estate, then worth $400,000. They weren't giving it to you. You got in a hurry for some Bolivian nose candy. Huh?
Whose estate?
Well, this Nazi. I went ahead and found out about it in 2007. Gillette sent a letter to, see, what happens is that when Gillette went to jail, along with Scott Thornton, he went ahead and gave his church, not to Pastor John Britton, but he went ahead and gave it to this character named Joe Johnson out of Melville, Arkansas. And what happens is that Joe Johnson is a little tard who got a little bit of power. And what Johnson did is he went ahead and he started banning everybody. He banned, some of these people should have been banned. He kicked everybody out. And he went ahead and gave, Gillette went ahead and gave his webpage and forum to the Rick Spring faction cutout, who pretended, to a 17-year-old he didn't even know, who turned out to be a Rick Spring cutout. And that guy went ahead and took down the forum and Gillette's webpage. So by the time they kicked out Joe Johnson, Gillette didn't have hardly any of the church left here. And you brought in Brian Wright, and, I mean, all this moving stuff here, I mean, essentially you'd end up having to be a listener to this program all the time in order to keep up with it here. But essentially Gillette went ahead and he told me the story about, I went ahead, when I heard that Gillette had been imprisoned, there was a press release. When I heard that Gillette had been imprisoned for, allegedly conspiracy to rob banks in Alabama with Scott Thornton, who was, I thought he was just a dork because he said, I'm too tough to be broken. And, I went ahead and said, no, he's not going to associate with August Christ faction because he's fighting with August Christ over who gets to be Aryan Nations. And August Christ's downfall was his own stupid, was his greed, because in 2004, he announced that you didn't have to be Christian identity or even just a one seed liner in order to go ahead and get into Aryan Nations. You don't have to be Christian identity, and then you don't even have to be white. You can be a sand nigger as long as you weren't a Jew. You can be a sand nigger as long as you hated Jews. You could join the Aryan Nations as long as you said you hated Jews. You didn't even have to be white as long as you sent them $25 and $10 per month for dues. And, when I got out of jail in 2009, I was running out these tards. I'm Aryan Nations. I said, well, why? How can you be Aryan Nations if you say you're a creator or you're a wokeness? How can you be Aryan Nations if you're that? Well, I gave August Christ $25. I said, that doesn't cut nothing with me here. You have to be white and you have to be Christian identity if you want to claim to be Aryan Nations, as far as I'm concerned. And, you had a fit about that, but...
Go to Dickie's Mansion to see what I can find. I find a bunch of goodies from 2005. I see all those items from the good old days. His butt fuck is in my hands and his leather's all gay. Wanna be a swordmancer in the SS. Wanna be a sword faggot in the SS. Wanna be a swordmancer in the SS. Swordmancer, sword faggot in the SS. In the gay pipe parade, Dickie rolled with pride, sucking off niggers in the desert countryside. Every red nigger bastard that wanted to pay, we would suck them off day after day. Wanna be a swordmancer in the SF? Wanna be a sword faggot in the SF? Wanna be a swordmancer in the SF? Swordmancer, sword faggot in the SF! Today I grin when I see his bull whip, my sphincter's magnificent, I know it's really drips, get the good one, but a gleam in my eyes. Call me Brian Real, I tell nothing but lies. I'll be a sword mancer in the SF. I'll be a sword faggot in the SF. I'll be a sword mancer in the SF. Sword mancer, sword faggot in the SF. Wanna be a sword mancer in the SF. Wanna be a sword faggot in the SF. Wanna be a sword mancer in the SF. Sword mancer, sword faggot in the SF.
Any case, anyway, you know, getting on with it, I had a big fight with Gillette and Truitt, and I found out that Truitt is a long-term criminal out of Texas. He's been in prison for 25 years. I'll go ahead and find out for what. Gillette...
5 years.
25 years.
That's a long time, man.
Well, yeah. I got to wonder here. I sort of think he's probably just a hardcore criminal. I don't know if you remember this Obadiah. He used to hang around Fink. When was it?
I would don't.
Early 2010. He went ahead and said some stupid crap about what I do is I travel across the country and administer honor court beatdowns. And I says, what are you talking about? Well, what happens? Are you going to fight August Christ? You know, or not August Christ? You going to fight Jay Faber? I said no. Well, what happens? I come to your house here and give you an honor court beatdown. I said, you idiot.
A beatdown? What's a beatdown?
He's going to go ahead and beat me up here, you know, in the name of Jay Faber or something like that, I guess, here. I said, you idiot. You go to somebody's house here, and now, so you're going to go ahead and beat him up for no damn good reason other than something for an honor court beatdown. Chances are you're going to cut in two by a shotgun blast or something here.
If this guy Truitt was in jail for 25 years, how did he allegedly become a minister?
Well, he knows Gillette here. That's what I was trying to figure out. I mean, the guy does not seem to be exactly too smart to me. You know what I mean? He's just, you know, I mean, this is the same thing that people were asking, and Gillette was asking about Rick Spring. How come this guy has these two convictions for bank robbery? And what happens, he only serves 6 months, and he's in, he's out, because Gillette serves some prison time, too. How come he's in, he's out, he's in, he's out? Essentially, we think he's a snitch, and turned out, yes, he was a snitch. During the last days of Butler's life, him and his wife, Christine, Butler would get all these membership applications from young tards wannabe Aryan Nations, you know, $25, $10 a month, and Butler just leave it on his desk here next to his computer.
What's Truitt's first name?
Alan Truitt.
A-L-L-E-N?
T-R-U-I-T-T. You seen him on Elias' show earlier this morning. Remember?
U-I-T-T.
Yeah. Guess number eight. Marty and Johnny both got a beatdown cabin. Well, I'll worry about it when the time comes.
A joint or a federal joint, you know?
I don't know.
Okay.
You know, he'd probably be better in a federal joint if he was, you know, in Texas here. God, them Texas jails are rough. You know what I mean?
I understand.
So, but I'm looking at this tar, guest number eight. You know, he's just throwing the crap out of me. Swordmancer wouldn't even put up with a minute of that, would he? But in any case, I'm sort of laughing at some stupid stuff I see here. But anyway, Truitt went ahead and told me a number of things, and well, they invited me to call in. I called in, and I got muted quite a bit. And he called me a child molester, of course, and all this other stupid shit. And, no, I mean, Gillette is of the notion that I need to drive down to Lewis, you know, to Louisiana and have a fight with him. And I says, why? Why do I need to do that? I mean, look, Gillette, you're what, 5'2"? From what I gather, you have not won any fights, but you have got your ass whipped quite a bit, and you have not learned a damn thing from all your ass whippings. Second of all, why would I go ahead and drive essentially 1,200 miles, or, you know, maybe 1,000 miles, I don't know which, to go ahead and with the purpose of assaulting somebody who I believe is a federal snitch? Why would I want to do that? That wouldn't be very smart, would it? That would kick my ass. Huh?
Any rate.
In any case, you have all these criminals. But my question is, why, Truett, are you 1 minute associating with Eli James and then the next minute associating with Fink?
Associated or not?
Just he's on their chat room.
That doesn't mean he's associating. That means he's just listening. He's just a public member listening to anybody. Anybody can listen to these programs. That's true. She was all public. This private pitch that Fink has put down is just to save us. Another lie Fink tells. It's absolutely public. Anybody, including the man on the moon, can join those programs as a guest, or if they have a name identified.
When I go ahead, and I always join as a guest. I always troll as a guest. The answer of it is that, first of all, I'm there to go ahead and get information, and trolling can go ahead and give you a lot of information. I have annoyed people so much.
Oh, I understand.
I've annoyed people so much that they forget themselves and tell me stuff that they shouldn't have told me, and that's what Gillette and Truett told me. That's what Dan Johns told me. I mean, I had Dan Johns just going ahead and talking about Mayans being beardless Israelites. Had him talking about how the...
His belief, that's all.
How the Israelites... Did you know the Israelites were kings in Egypt? They were the kings and priests in Egypt. Did you know that?
Well, Joseph sure as hell was.
Well, Joseph may have been. But if he went ahead and looked at Charlton Heston here, he sort of figured out that, you know, by the time it come around, the Israelites were not kings and priests over the Egyptians, were they?
I don't know. I mean, that's a new one on me, but in any event.
Well, you do remember the book of Exodus where the Israelites were the slaves of the Egyptians for 400 years, remember?
Very true.
They were not the kings and priests over the Egyptians.
That's right.
What happens is that there's many people who believe that when Joseph came in, he was part, you know, he was pretty well coming into the land of Goshen on the Delta and essentially getting in because these were Hyksos. These were Hyksos kings. You know, of the, what, 14th, 15th, part of the 16th dynasty.
I don't know anything about this.
Okay. So, anyway. Oh, by the way, Liability Close, my bell priest, supposedly he was supposed to meet Banjo Billy for one of these DSCI beatdowns. And I have not heard a single thing about it. I think old Mumps Nuts went ahead and pussied out on this sort of thing. But I've told Gillette, I've told Truett, I've told Mumps Nuts that if they want to issue a challenge, I get to go ahead and name the weapons and the rules, and my choice is gelding knives and zero paces in my front living room, no witnesses. And if they want to go ahead and live with it, they can. You know what I mean? Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, guest number 8. I mean, I have heard people, especially ones I think are federal informants, always play this little game, well, if you're so big and tough here, let's just go ahead and meet somebody. You meet somewhere. And folks, that's a surefire way to get yourself killed, isn't it?
Of course it is.
Yeah. Why do you want to do stupid shit like that? My problem with Gillette, and I told him my problem with Gillette, is that I asked John Britton to take over his church and give what little remained of it back to Gillette, and I went ahead and saved his trust fund from Harold Grooms, the dead Nazi, and now it's $500,000. And now, from what I gather, he has had access to it. So that tells me that Gillette has cut a deal. Gillette has cut a deal, and essentially I think Gillette's a rat. In the case of Gillette, he in turn was set up by this Joshua Caleb Sutter, who was one of the August Christ people, and that's why I couldn't believe it, because Gillette was fighting with August Christ over who gets to claim to be the successor to Butler. And I went ahead like an idiot and said, nah, he ain't going to be with Joshua Caleb Sutter. Well, sure enough, he was. Joshua Caleb Sutter, he got turned by some other informant. And I think this Scott Charles Thornton is an informant, too. You know, he's over on Northwest, whatever here, and I look at him, and I think the character's a Mamzer myself, because he has rather dark eyes. But, no, you've had, in Aryan Nations, you've had all these retards, and all these criminals, and the minute, you know, and I've been locked up with criminals. A criminal will snitch out, the criminal would snitch out its own mother, or grandmother, for an extra tray of food. There is no honor among thieves and criminals. You know, the prisons do have some innocent people. They do have some innocent, you know, and I think about a third of the people in prison are about, you know, innocent. But, folks, that leaves two-thirds who are criminals, who are insane criminals. And there are a lot of criminals in prison, you know, who belong in jail, who belong in prison. And for 25 years, I mean, what the heck did this idiot do? You know, to be in there, I'm going to go ahead and search, you know, the Texas, now that I know to look in Texas. But what's he doing with Gillette? Because when I called Gillette about 2-3 months ago, he said that as someone who's on probation, he's not allowed to talk to, you know, felons and ex-felons. So what's he doing with this Alan Truitt? What's this Alan Truitt going 1 minute with Eli James and going the next minute?
Well, but are they, but see, Martin, just because he listens in a program, even if he participates in a program,
mm-hmm.
does not necessarily mean he's in association with Eli James or anybody else for that matter. He's just a participant in
they were pissing and moaning about trolls over on the Sword Mamzer show.
That's okay.
Tonight.
Yeah, that's
you had this nimbuster who knows how to troll the crap out of one set. But Russ, the thing about it is that generally you have heard of the line that you're judged by the company you keep?
Oh, I agree with you. Birds of a feather flock together, sure.
You flock together here.
But that doesn't mean, Martin, I'm trying to play devil's advocate. Just because someone's on a program or stuff like that, I would not say that he and Eli James are our buddies or anything else.
Well, no, I obviously was not buddies with Morris Gillette or Truitt, but essentially it was understood to be an adversarial aspect. But Russ, the thing about it is that Christian Identity says, and last night I was listening to Finkelstein, he's horseshit. Broken Cisterns. If you have a portion of non-white blood in you, you are damned. You have no, you know, the children's teeth are set on edge. And that is exactly what it says. But Fink will go ahead and talk about you don't let any Mamzers in, and then next minute he's on the Brian Reel show. Both him and Eli James knew exactly what Brian Reel looked like and what Brian Reel was. Correct?
I agree with you, Martin, totally.
So how can you go ahead, and the same thing goes with Emhizer. You don't think Emhizer doesn't know by now that Brian Reel isn't white?
Either that or he's willfully blind.
He's willfully blind. I think he's willfully blind, and the rest of these people are willfully blind. Dan Johns, I was trolling him Wednesday. Dan Johns, is willfully blind, and what happens, Dan Johns will go ahead and lie. Oh, you know, I've seen him, you know, I've met him here, and what happens, he's a wonderful teacher. And Dan Johns understands here. You know, Mad Marty is a convicted child molester. The answer is no, Mad Marty is not convicted anything other than convicted not seatbelt wearer, convicted, huh? Well, see, they tell these lies because they're liars. They don't seem to understand is that to someone like me, I don't, you know, I go ahead and I listen to the lie, and most of the times I just go ahead and mark it for future reference as to what to go ahead and do with that, you know, with that person. See, in ancient Israel, generally the Israelites had nothing against exterminating an entire city because they're, you know, the people were Mamzers, the people were not white, because the people were Canaanites, because the people were anything. Correct?
Hey, I've been fooling around the internet. There's a website called AryanNations88.com.
Oh, that's Paul Mullett. Paul Mullett. What happens in August or July of last year, Paul Mullett and Gillette went ahead and joined together. And from what I gather, Gillette has the Harold Groom's money. Mullett does not have anything. Essentially, he's just another one of these little two-bit Nazis.
It shows a picture here of a man in a, like a black T-shirt, heavily tattooed.
Yeah.
Short crop black hair.
Idiots.
It says, it seems the federal parole boards are allowing convicted bank robbers to run white supremacist organizations.
Well, that's some Jew whining, you know, that's some Jew whining that Gillette should not be, you know, should be allowed to run Aryan Nations. The thing about it is, though, if I was Morris Dees, I would want someone like Gillette to run Aryan Nations.
Of course.
You know, because, you know, essentially,
you're ridiculed.
You go right back to jail if you don't do what I do. That's why I went ahead and accused. I wrote Gillette. When I was in the nut house and I heard he took a plea bargain, I said, don't take the plea bargain, Gillette, because, hey, if you're innocent, you don't take the plea bargain. And I went ahead and threw back at Gillette. I said, I got sent to the nut house because I wouldn't accept a public pretender to sell me out. You know, you were guilty as hell. And you went and took a plea bargain. And now everybody thinks that you're a snitch. Because now you got, obviously you got money from Harold Grooms that you didn't have before. In 2007, you know, Gillette sent a whiny letter to Pastor John Britton. And John Britton wanted to beat his ass, but he said, why does Gillette need $100 a month from me here when I have problems, you know, financial problems of my own? Why does he want $100 from me for his commissary? And all he did, he robbed the bank not for his church, but for Bolivian nose candy. He has all this money. How come he couldn't just go ahead and use that here? Why do you have to go ahead and rob the bank? And then, you know, I mean, he was trying to get Gillette to actually learn something. He was willing to pay Gillette. He was willing to pay $100 so that Gillette could get the AIT course and learn a little bit more about Christian identity, what he's supposed to learn about it. And Gillette didn't want to do it here. And, John was pretty well pissed off because, you know, shoot, you know, what's Gillette going to do in, you know, jail here? He might as well learn what he's, you know, practicing to preach. You know, he ought to go ahead at least get something out of it by learning what he's supposed to be preaching, but Gillette wouldn't do that. And then you have these other idiots, well, Gillette said that you have to have an AIT course. You know, no you don't. Gillette doesn't have one. But here's Gillette. He goes ahead and he whines to John Britton that John hasn't restored his web page, John hasn't recruited any new members, John hasn't done this, and John hasn't done that. And John Britton was pretty well pissed off. He wanted to fly down to Mariana, Florida, and beat Gillette's ass. I said, well, what good's that going to do you? You know, be in jail over that stupid shit. Gillette isn't able to learn anything, even from an ass whipping. So, don't do that. And I went ahead and found out about the trust fund. And I asked this Brian Wright, and he was a smarmy bastard. And essentially, I went ahead and reported is that, yes, there was $400,000 in there. I went ahead and talked to this old guy in Ohio, who essentially maintained the church, you know, and maintained the trust fund while I was there. And the old guy told me that, they weren't allowing Gillette to have more than $1,000 a year fat. So now, from my gear, Gillette's allowed to have this money. And why is he allowed to have this money? Well, part of it is because I think he's a Zogbot. You know what I mean? He's not allowed to have all of it. But essentially, Gillette is not starving. Gillette gets to go ahead and play Christian identity, and I don't have a problem with that, but I do have a problem with him going ahead and bringing more idiots, be they Quakers or Mamsers, getting more idiots to be sent to prison. Because Gillette, when you were running things, that's all you did was get sent to prison for a stupid scheme to rob banks in Alabama while you were drunk, and they videotaped you drunk plotting to rob that, and you went ahead and took somebody else with you. And Gillette was mad. He said, well, this guy was not a child. Well, no, he wasn't. He was an age of consent. He was 23. But on the other hand, you don't take your followers and bring them to prison with you out of your own stupidity, do you? That's one hell of a thing to do.
Well, if the people are stupid enough to go along with that nonsense, that's their problem, too. But anyway.
Well, it may be their problem, but, you know, you do see why I get annoyed at people going to prison unnecessarily, you know, because they want to pretend to be something they're not. Most of these critters on these talk show programs, they wander from Fink to Eli James, and, you know, back to Fink, and then back to Eli James. And essentially, does that mean that they have any fixed beliefs?
Well, Martin, I'm getting tired.
Yeah, I know you're getting tired here. Anyway, Russ, was there anything you wanted to say that I, you know, drowned you out over?
I just think that this whole world needs a tow. You can see what's taking place politically, economically, the weather events, and everything else. So the world is starting to
fall apart.
Fall apart.
Collapse.
I live in Eastern North Carolina, and we this year have got heavy fire ant infestation. I've used a box of this fire ant poison where other years, for 3 years ago, go along, I would use one box. One of my friends who is a former state beekeeper, very knowledgeable about trees and plants, and not just honeybees, he says we're fixing to have a seriously cold winter this year. And he says you can see all the berries on the bushes and everything else. I noticed an awful lot of not acorns. What are the other thing that they on pine trees have?
Pine cones.
Pine cones. An awful lot of pine cones this year. He says nature's knows we're going to have a severe winter this year. Well, we'll just wait and see. But weather-wise, I mean, around the world.
Well, we had this year. This year, February 8th, we had the coldest I'd ever seen it in Missouri. And then, last month, we had the hottest I've ever seen it in Missouri. The hottest was 1954. And what happens is that Nowata, Oklahoma was minus 36 degrees, a record not only for Nowata, but for the entire state of California or of Oklahoma. And it was minus 8, which was the coldest by about 8 degrees or so that I've ever seen down here. By the way, how'd you do on Hurricane Irene here? Did you get a lot of rain?
Yeah, personally for me it was we had a little breeze and about a quarter of an inch of rain. It was delightful. Now I live 125 miles from the coast, though. That's a different story.
Well, I remember when Hurricane Hugo came in. It was raining like crazy in Indianapolis, and then I go up Interstate 95. And I see all these trees and all these signs blown over in South Carolina and North Carolina.
Storm. I can remember at its peak, it went from like Georgia up to Nova Scotia, something like that. It was a massive, massive storm. It came in through Charleston. It tore up Charlotte. This one town in South Carolina, I can't remember the name of the town. It literally took the town off the face of the earth. The only thing left were the parking lots. So, what can I say?
Well, this was, it didn't turn out to be much of anything really here, but they were certainly scared of it, weren't they?
Well, better to be scared than to be sorry,
Well, that's true. So you just had a little bit of rain and a breeze, huh?
I would never live anywhere near an ocean in the world. That's a major energy interface between the oceans and the land. That's where the energy is deposited, basically. The wave comes with so much energy, and it comes upon the shore, and then that energy is released. And it tears up beaches, it tears up rocks, roads, houses, everything else. I think these people, women particularly, love the beaches. I think they're crazy. Normally we go down the beach maybe once a year. We go down to Wilmington. It's like 100-something miles from here. The beaches are empty. You can literally go North Carolina, 300 miles off pristine sand beach.
Yeah, are you east or west of I-95?
Oh, west.
Okay, go on. You have the rather outer banks and stuff like that where there are sand dunes
But we're way far west of that, and intentionally I would never live near the coast anywhere.
Well, they say that the population of Zog is going 75 is going to live within 75 miles of the coast. That's what they said.
Now, see what happens. There are some people who predicted that if a major hurricane were ever to go into New York Harbor is like a funnel, and there was a swell. See, today's the new moon, ironically. There are going to be some heavy tides today because of the new moon. If a major storm were ever to go into New York Harbor with the tidal rise, what do they call that, where the water goes up, that you could even get 60 feet of water in New York City, I don't know. I believe eventually New York City is marked for destruction. It's an evil, evil place.
Well, they had a whole bunch of water around the Nigger Luther King monument this morning. Today the Nigger Luther King was supposed to open, and I guess old Nigger Luther, he got an earthquake, he got a hurricane. Nigger Luther did, huh?
This whole thing with Martin Luther Raccoon is so sickening. He's a goddamn agent of Satan. He claimed to be a minister. How ludicrous!
Well,
clear about being separate. He preaches disintegration and equality.
Well, he was screwing nigger whores and wigger whores the night before he got his head blown off. So
I really don't know who did that. But that's another point.
Well, even old nigger Luther Kong didn't think that old James Earl Ray had something to do with it. They thought the FBI or something was done it. Yeah, it was a setup.
Who knows?
I mean, Zog got a little bit scared, so they blew. They shot the nigger and didn't worry about a little riot.
I wouldn't wait. I would love to have a death angel come and take out millions of evil people in this society and around the world, for that matter.
Well, it's going to be more than millions when this great tribulation kicks in. It's going to be quite a few.
I can't wait for Yahweh to do it through disease, through national media, whatever the deal is, and. New York City is one of the most evil places in the world, in my opinion.
I've been to New York quite a few times in a truck, and folks, it's just a shithole of niggers and Jews and all sorts of other critters. You know what I mean? So it's just a shithole, New York. I hate New York. Such a shitty place. They had to name it twice. You know what I mean?
Well, who cares? But. See, that Hudson River is on a fault. People don't realize it. That Hudson River is essentially straight for 130 miles. And I've heard some people say there are prophecies and an earthquake will come by. I don't know what's going to come by. But there are a lot of things about New York City which are less than charming. The ocean and the fault and everything else. But
well, upstate New York is beautiful, though.
Oh, and
so like Pennsylvania. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But what they do is they got all these critters who have gone in there and... Oh shoot! I went to Saratoga Springs, not the rich place, where the actual white trash live, and I seen plenty of houses which desperately needed paint. I seen a whole bunch of fat women with not too many teeth left.
Sure.
Essentially it looked like northern Arkansas in March here is what it looked like. I mean, but it's still sort of pretty here, and Mark Twain liked it, but. No, they, I mean, parts of it's nice here, but, shoot, the people make it into a crap hole. Even the upstate places here.
Let me take off.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you later. You have a good one, and hail victory, and good night, Russ, okay? All righty. I'm going to let Russ go. What happens is guest number 8, I think, is Brian Wright, although it might be, I think it's Brian Wright who's pretty well found this thing out. But the character has fun. I mean, he's probably not going to want to go ahead and share. Obagender Bender Pisser Pusser Possum had his own little review of this show. So I'm going to go ahead and try to get the shows out. I've sort of started to catch up, okay? Well, Jersey City, the Pine Barrens. I really... wasn't too crazy about. I was to New Jersey. I had basic at Fort Dix. I didn't not much care for Fort Dix. I never went to Wrightstown. Never intended to go to Wrightstown. Okay. No, is Brian Wright IMTJ? No, I don't think it is here. It's just what I did though is I did go ahead and I think I left a. I went ahead and left a link to the show to IMTJ here. And the thing about it is Brian Wright might be on TJ, I don't know. Anyway, I'm going to take a break. And it's 56 minutes, so hail victory, folks.
The Ballad of Irving.
He was short and fat and rode out of the west with a Mogan David on his silver vest. He was mean and nasty right clear through, which was kind of weird because he was yellow too. They called him Irving. Big Irving. Big Short Irving. Big Short Fat Irving. The 142nd fastest gun in the west.
Irving.
He came from the old bar mitzvah spread with a 10-gallon yarmulke on his head. He always followed his mother's wishes. Even on the range, he used two sets of dishes. Irving. Big Fat Irving. Big Sissy Irving. The 142nd fastest gun in the West. Irving. 141 could draw faster than he, but Irving was looking for 143. Walked in a Saul saloon like a man insane and ordered three fingers of 2 cents plain. Irving. Big Fat Irving. Big Sport Irving. The 142nd fastest gun in the West. One day, Bad Max happened in the town. His aim was to shoot Fat Irving down. Bad Max said, "Draw and draw right now." And Irving drew a picture of a cow. Irving. Big Fat Irving. Big Gunfighter Irving. The 142nd fastest gun in the West. The James Boys was coming on a train of first sun on the town, said, "Irving, we need your gun." When that train pulled in at the break of dawn, Irving's gun was there, but Irving was gone. Irving. Big Fat Irving. Big Help Irving. The 142nd fastest gun in the West. Well, finally, Irving got 3 slugs in the belly. It was right outside the Frontier Deli. He was sitting there, twirling his gun around, and Butterfingers Irving gunned himself down. Irving. Big Fat Irving. Big Dum Dum Irving. Big Dum Dum Dead Irving. The 142nd fastest gun in the West.
Really?
Okay, folks, we're back. I had a 56-hour interview or something. Well, not with Russ here. I was pretty well talking myself about today. I went ahead and did some trolling. I got up early for me. I was pretty well up to about 6 or 7, putting up 83.5 up. And I'm running a little bit out of space out of whitenationalist.org, although I have plenty of bandwidth. So what I'm going to do is probably ask for a few folks to go ahead and find a free hoster or something like that, and then send me the link, and we'll just go ahead and just put it up there or something like that here. But for now, what I'm doing is I'm keeping the latest 3 or 4 shows. I'm not removing them every week, although Hour of Great Tribulation got moved to a different place here, except for the last episode, and I didn't get the Hour of Great Tribulation coming. But I've decided what I'm going to go ahead and talk about. It's going to be about who is and who is not the House of Israel. Well, folks, guest number 13 said, "All in all, the enemy of the white world is white people themselves. Internalize this fact and commit to memory. Now you understand the problem." Folks, that's exactly what I've been saying, is that the reason we have a problem isn't a nigger problem, it isn't a beaner problem, it isn't even a Jew problem, although they are the spawn of Satan. And they do the evil they do because they are evil. But it's a Uyghur problem. It is a Uyghur problem. Folks, if it was just a matter, and you have all these tards running around, and I'm going to cover Alex Linder. I'm going to cover Alex Linder, essentially acting super retarded, going after the moderates. And I think he's about to go ahead and justify pretty well snitching out Kevin Harpham, you know, of the bionic backpack, who essentially would not have been caught If it wouldn't have been for the fact he was just simply some meat made to order because he's on DNNF. Or the gut sick weedo weasel with Jew-ass cancers, greater free range tar corral, or the Trader Glenn Miller News Network Forum, whatever you want to call it. Here's Linder. And I went ahead and sent out a DVD to Billy Roper. Went sent to another person on there, and I'm going to ask him to maybe set up a channel for me or a YouTube channel for me, and pretty well divide it into two overall things here, and then divide it into these other things and put it up on YouTube for me. I'll probably figure out how to do it, but what happens is I just assume it be set up so that if I need a Colonel House, just like Harold Covington has, that essentially people can go ahead and look at it. And folks, we're not going to go ahead and do it as Aryan Nations, but rather, and Glenn has an Aryan Nations channel, but rather as what actually goes on during these rallies from the point of view of a rally participant, okay? So, your YouTube channel got banned? Well, see that? I don't want my YouTube channel to go ahead and get banned. So, yeah, I pretty well put the video links at about 10 minutes or so. Folks, we were there for about 45 minutes. I didn't know how long the battery would last. I would have got far more of Pastor Butler later, but my battery came out. Roxy was not impressed by the character of the people. She was there. She really wasn't a skinhead or into beer. Essentially, she just wanted to go home. I hung around longer than what she really liked. Then the battery went ahead and died. And even on good time, it was only for, 2 hours. So, yeah. Folks, what I would like to do, and I have Corncob's video, too, on there. The WMF file. So, pretty well I download it soon after. And, folks, that video is the beginning of Corncob as a movie producer or something. He found him a little bitty video, and he went with it. He ran with it. He found his medium. It isn't writing. It isn't writing novels. It's producing video. Now, some of the video goes ahead and does something different than what Corncob wants to do. Me and Pastor John Britton laughed ourselves silly at this Kingston video, to where you have old Corncob essentially fighting with a saucy high yellow negress, and she says she's going to have a white baby. Now, she has this nigger next to her, and the taxi driver initially sided with Corncob and then figured out that the nigger bitch might get his ass whipped or his license taken away, so then he decided against Corncob. Old Stan is just sitting there looking bored, filming the thing, and Corncob is looking a little bit scared, like, I could get raped by a high yeller Beyonce negress. Anyway, I guess I took something different from it, but it was funny. I don't know Corncob, because Corncob looks like a liberal wigger dork. He looks like a dork, and then he opens up his mind, his mouth, and the Jews just do a double take here, and they say, danger, swell kikus, in danger! And they run all off here. And see, Corncob, he looks like he's a doofus liberal wigger nut job here, and then he opens up his mouth, and then they say, danger, well kikus, in danger, dangerous right-wing Nazi nutcase who don't like Jews, and they run off. It was hilarious, Corncob's videos. And folks, that one there might have been the very first Corncob video ever. You know what I mean? But, we'll go ahead and, handle your life, folks. But folks, the problem has been here, and that's why Gillette and Truett went ahead and banned these people, is that some of them, even the neutrals, we're saying, well, Liz said maybe crazy, but hell, he's right. You two are just nothing more than criminal snitches. Criminal snitches. Why in the world, except to make life easier for Zog, would you want to have a rally, to where you have every single little tart running around in uniform, where you have undercover and not so undercover journalists and pigs and all sorts of critters running around at that time. Why would you want to do that? Why in the world would you want to do that? What good does it do? And the answer, it doesn't do any good. But folks, you know, unlike Russ, who's rather naive, what you have is that some of the stuff moving from Fink to Eli James doesn't mean much because, hey, Mamzers don't care what Jew they follow. I mean, if you prefer Finkelshiny, if you prefer Rabbi Finkelshiny, you know, you prefer his Pepsi to Eli or Joseph November's Coke, and essentially you want to go ahead and pretend to be Christian identity, you're a Mamzer or whatever, does it really matter whether or not you have Eli or Coke or Finkelshiny Pepsi or vice versa? And the answer is it doesn't. But if you're really white, if you really are white, how many of you, if you're white, would you want to see Brian Real disdaining faggotry and marrying your blonde, blue-eyed daughter? How many of you would like to go ahead and see that? Okay? So, none of you would. None of you would. So, why in the world, if you believe in white supremacy, if you believe in Aryan nations, you believe in dual seedline Christianity, is that just a bit of Mamzer will go ahead and undo you? Why in the world would you want this character in your congregation? And certainly not when he goes ahead and calls the damn FBI, goes ahead and has web pages taken down. Folks, this character is a Mamzer menace. And folks, why would you want to go ahead and be associated with that sort of thing? And the answer is you wouldn't, if you're legit. Why in the world, would Eli James, I mean, I'd Truett go ahead and say, well, that's a picture of a Muslim. Well, no, Alan Truett. Well, I met him. He don't look like that. I says, well, look, Alan Truett, that picture on the right, you have the picture on the left of three Jews, an old Jew rabbi, Rob Emanuel, and a younger Jew that looks like a younger twin brother, Eli James. And you have another picture of Eli James. And, folks, this was not a picture I dug out from Al-Qaeda reunion on Time Magazine or wherever. No, this is a picture that Eli James posts on TalkShoe and has for years. This is Eli James' official portrait, such as there is of one. And you think he looks like a Muslim, and then you go ahead and claim that I've gone ahead and doctored the picture? No, I've not doctored the picture. I just went ahead and juxtaposed a picture of three Jews celebrating last Hanukkah with Rahm Emanuel, and then another Jew. Essentially, two pictures of four Jews. Okay? Anyway, yep, I saved all this, you know, the night before it got removed, you know. Any case, no, you know, guest number 13, if you're into videos or saving videos, that's good too here, okay? So, getting on that, oh, the Maniac, oh yes, I got a email from Maniac wanting me to know what I'm going to do with Brian Real vids, and essentially I'm not going to go ahead and post them on my own site, at least not until I sue Brian Real. But if he wants to be a free rider on my lawsuit, that's fine by me. Essentially, some of these are of questionable taste, but I'm still laughing at the very first one where, Brian Real, we made passionate homosexual love. Why did it come to this, Brian Real? Why? Why did it have to come to this? Pop, thunk, and then it says, no one was hurt during making this video. Well, it sounds like Brian Real and his homosexual lover have just got ahead and had a quarrel, and the homosexual lover has just got ahead and shot himself with a pistol. is what sounded like that. It was hilarious. It was a hilarious video. I laughed at it. It's sort of like, if you ever seen Animal House, to where they go ahead and supposedly shoot the horse in the dean's office with a blank pistol, and the horse goes ahead and has a heart attack and drops dead. I mean, it's sort of like that moment, I guess, here. So, well, okay. Number 8, you can believe that. Number 8 has all sorts of little notions. And it's, I guess, you know, and some of the time here, folks, if you don't think I'm legit, well, you don't need to listen to me. You don't need to worry about what I have to say. But as a result of my trolling activities with Eli James, with Think, I mean, I managed to go ahead and get in a, you know, quick thing. How's Nigger Lips doing here? Where's old Nigger Lips at? And folks, I mean, Brian Real is the most anal little mamzer that you've ever seen. And he has everything planned here. He is one hell of an anti-racist activist here. But the thing about it is that you end up wondering, where do all these people fit in? Now, normally, it's not normal for white people to invite mamzers into the congregation any more than it's normal for white people to invite mamzers into their family. And what is a congregation other than essentially an extended family? And that is especially the true of Christian identity. The most common congregation in Christian identity is the one and two and sometimes three family Christian identity congregation, which essentially follows a mixture of one seed lineism and dual seed lineism. And what they do is that they stick below the radar. They might go ahead and have some Worldwide Church of God hymnals, or they might get some from, you know, from an old church or something. Or print it up on sheet, you know, print it up from the computer. In some cases, they have a pastor who goes ahead and essentially he's a part-time pastor. And they might even have a church building. I have seen that in a few cases here in Southwest Missouri, where Christian identity is far more common than pretty well anywhere else in the United States. I'm pretty well on the edge of Christian identity. And everyone does understand that. So, folks, when I see mamzers running wild, when I see criminals running wild, and these people going from Finkelsteinese to Eliers, and then back to Finkelsteinese, you know, be it Jewel Mosley, be it the rest of them, and you go ahead and you look at the pictures, and you say, uh-huh, well, that explains a lot. In the case of Jerrell Mosley, that explains something here. I don't think Jerrell's white. Maui Patricia. I went ahead and made a big deal, called her a condom you. But folks, why shouldn't Maui Patricia go ahead and get some Aryan input at Vegas? Why shouldn't she? After all, if she's, what, 40, 50 years old, I mean, what she has between her legs ain't getting any better. She might as well go for the gusto while she can. She's not going to have eternal life. She's going to die, so why shouldn't she have fun? Why shouldn't she go ahead and discreetly go to Vegas and hope that whatever stays in Vegas, you know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas? I mean, it's sort of like that story about the woodpeckers. You know, how the woodpeckers, there was a woodpecker from Lake Michigan. Yeah, Lake Michigan. The Lake Michigan area. And he went down to Table Rock Lake in the, you know, here in the Ozarks. You know, nice, beautiful, big lake. You know, on the White River. And, you know, he says, hey, I'm hungry. What's there to eat? He says, well, there's this wonderful snag out in the middle of, you know, Table Rock, but I don't think you're going to be able to eat it because it's just too tough here. It's just too tough here. I mean, it's loaded with grubs underneath the wood, but it's just too tough. So, you know, the woodpecker from Lake Michigan says, well, let me go ahead and try. And that woodpecker just goes ahead and he turns that log into sawdust. Just turns it out here and gets himself a one heck of a feast there. It's better than a bonanza. Well, next summer, the Table Rock Lake woodpecker goes up to Michigan. You know, into one of the little rivers that's flowing into Lake Michigan. He says, well, hey, I'm hungry. What is there to eat? He said, well, sort of like last time here. I mean, what happens, there's this tree out in the river here, you know, that died, and it's just, you know, I mean, I noticed this little grubs could hear them, but, you know, the wood's just too tough and hard to peck through. And the lake, you know, the Table Rock Lake Michigan, you know, woodpecker just goes ahead and just turns that snag into sawdust in no time flat, just like that. Okay, folks. Now, folks, if there's, you know, there's a moral to the story, and I think some of you have heard the moral to, you know, the moral to the story, but I'm going to go ahead and wait a few seconds and say, you know, what is the moral? Well, the moral is your pecker is always harder when you're away from home. That's what the moral is. Folks, I'm a rather earthy pastor, I guess you can say. But, so, in any case, I mean, and generally your behavior, though, I mean, if you're a godly man and you're able to go ahead and think things through, your character should not change regardless of where you are and whether or not somebody will see you do it. Because you will know you did it, and Yahweh will know you did it. All these mamzers and all these tards act like they're fooling Yahweh. Yahweh is going to go ahead and love all the lies and evasions that you've gone ahead and told the other wiggers and mamzers. But Yahweh's such a fucktard that he's going to go ahead and not see what you did. He's going to reward you with eternal life for your lies, your evasions, your stupidity, the fact that, you know, you're not what you appear, that you are the son, that you are the spawn of Satan, or you are essentially a mamzer or something like that. Yahweh is an idiot and he's fooled. Folks, why in the world would you want to go ahead and be in Christian identity? Why would you want to be something that you're not? Now, there are some people, and this is what gets me, is that sometimes I have seen Jews who have acted better than most Wiggers. I've seen a few people who, essentially the white in them, leads them to go ahead and think far more, and that they have, you know, their teeth, like Finkelstein was saying, have been set on edge. Because, well, they wish that they hadn't been born, but they're here. What do you do with such people? And when things go ahead and fall apart, no one knows. No one knows. I mean, if you live through it, if you pray that you are counted worthy of escape and Yahweh goes ahead and listens to you, is that not for the best? Is that not going to go ahead and be enough? You got to realize is that the ancient Israelites were not told that they, if they obeyed the law of Moses, they obeyed the contract that was made on Mount Sinai, and was made time and time and time again under other judges, that they would live forever and they would have eternal life. No, what they were told is that they obeyed the law of Yahweh, they would have long, happy, healthy lives, would have strong sons and beautiful daughters. That Yahweh would fight most of the battles for them, although they would have to go ahead and do a little bit of the work and a little bit of the heavy lifting, and that they would have a society, an Israelite society, in which there was a place for every Israelite child. Now, you've always had people who want to go ahead and get in, and once they get in, they want to go ahead and change things. And upon changing things, they change it to where it's no longer an Israelite society. And that's what we have in this country. Too few whites, too many muds, mamzers, too many wiggers. And essentially we are reaping pretty well the whirlwind that's already been sowed as a wind for the past 30, 40, 50, 200 years. Two, those who, you know, I don't promise anything really bad. I just don't want you in Christian identity if you're not white. And you don't belong in Christian identity. I can't go ahead and bring you into Christian identity. But I can point out is that in Revelations chapter 20, you have a number of nations, and I think that some of these nations that Yahweh had made, which were not white, they are given a chance to have a long life in their own domain, in their own area. But I noticed that under Revelations 20, verse 7 through 10, that when Satan is turned loose after the millennium, it takes but a short time for them all to go ahead and go around the camp of the saints and to encompass the holy city. And I do need to cover Romans chapter 9 about how Yahweh can very well seem unfair that he made vessels of wrath and he made vessels of mercy. And speaking as someone who has been done well by Yahweh, you know, who has been made into a vessel of mercy, what can I say to someone who is a vessel of wrath, other than, you know, that man may propose, but when it comes down to it, Yahweh will dispose. And it will be Yahweh who goes ahead and decides all these things. All these things. So, anyway, yeah, I guess you've been married. Me and Roxy and Martin's Marsh will be married, you know, Maui Patricia style for 25 years. No paper. So, any case, yeah, I bet you would hit it, Frank Wager. Any case, need an arc, I know a guy. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and look at that. I'm going to go ahead and take another break. So, folks, we'll be back in a little bit. So, hail victory.
Like a poster boys is gonna make you wind up dead. That's what this little beaner faggot Brian Rio's daddy said. You weren't your mama's only boy, but her gayest one, it seems. She sold her snatch for taco meat so you could live your dream. Brian was a beaner boy who liked to take it in the rear, and even folks from Billy Roper realized that it was queer. Dickie Barrett took it in spite of its mestizo skin. After he kicked that beaner out, some nigger did Dickie in. Even folks from skinhead say sword manzer's fucking gay. They ought to keep him far away from any normal white folks. Eli was playing games, trying to bring that beaner in. He called in late one Halloween A cyber shitstorm soon began. Eli met his match, you know, in a hovel down in Granby Moe. And on the turd his screech was heard. Now everybody knows. Even both front skinheads say, Sword Bamzer's fucking gay. They ought to keep Rio far away from any normal folks. Now Brian ought to give it up. Go back to sucking nigger dick. He ought to know the jig is up. We're fed up with that beaner prick. Soon that dirty beaner snitch may end up in Leroy's prison, bitch, and dying in a lonely cell of AIDS before it burns in hell. Even both front skinheads say, Brian Rio's fucking gay. They ought to keep it far away from any normal white folks. Even both front skinheads say, Sword Manther's fucking gay. But Dickie Bett let him flip away out of blindness, I suppose.
There was some dork named Hal who thought the Fibbies were his pal. So he went ahead and made a deal to snitch. But he threatened judges three, a jury slapped old Hal CB. So Hal's gonna be my dick swigger, bitch. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty Jew's commands, Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can. Long ago, a rat named Glenn ran his comrades over and again. But Zog gave him a bag full of Zog bucks. A little Guido loves digging fox, stitches, tickles, and cocksucks. The colostomy bag's name is VNM. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty Jew's command, Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can. I used to know a boss named Visser, a Duke Miff Goober Little Pisser, who was going ass to mouth with Lion Ride. A mum, that nigger and East Molester, a Pisser, Pisser, Possum, Chester. Not a single one of them was very bright. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty Jew's commands, Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can.
Okay, folks, we're back. Right now, I went ahead and put a link to VNNF. And, folks, I heard today from, I heard from Gillette the same thing that I heard from Trader Glenn Miller. Why in the world did you go ahead and work or robbing banks, or conspire to rob banks, why did you, what did you need so the money for so badly? And Gillette goes ahead and he literally whines that essentially his parishioners, or the rest, were, as he looked at it, too cheap, so that he just had to go ahead and rob banks. Now, folks, being a pastor, being a real pastor, over a real flock, is not really, if you end up having, and I've seen it at Herbert's church, and I see that if you end up going ahead and having to follow Herbert for a paycheck, the men or the ministers who were involved were very much hollow men. I seen one such hollow man who went ahead and disfellowshipped my dad for putting me in the hospital. Well, he didn't disfellowship himself when his little girl, his oldest daughter, just a month or so younger than me, came down with appendicitis. And so, under Herbert's church, he had to go ahead and show a good example. And what did he do? That girl died of a burst appendix. That little anointing cloth didn't do her a damn bit of good. So, he has a dead daughter, and this man that he went ahead and disfellowshipped had a live son. So, now, this disfellowshipping. Altogether, whenever you have somebody who has power, it is misused, of course. And someone will say, well, Liz said you disfellowship all sorts of people. Why? You refuse to fellowship with Brian Wright, with Eli James, with Finkelschini, with all these Mamzers and the rest of these Tards, with Gillette, with Alan Truitt, with all these critters. And it's all your fault, even though they refuse to fellowship with you and you do not want their fellowship. Why is that? And the answer is that they're not of the body of Christ. They're just simply creatures outside the body who pretend to be of the body. But I have seen the other side, to where there's plenty of religious force, and I have seen that religious force be abused. One character was asking, how come this other character who signed up to your forum no longer showed up anymore? Why did he just disappear? And I said, well, the problem with him is that he has told me tale after tale after tale of abuse, of religious abuse by people who claim to be Aryan Nations pastors, who went ahead and abused him quite, used their power to go ahead and abuse him. And I guess when he was telling me this story, I didn't pick up on the part where essentially he was telling me that he wanted to be abused, I guess, like these other people abused him. I guess by not abusing him, he didn't go ahead and think I was an effective or true Christian identity pastor. I don't know what the deal is on that. But I have seen literally people die. I've seen families tore apart over a divorce and remarriage. I've seen a lot of, things done that were wrong in the name of religion. And folks, I'm reminded what Christ said of having a light burden. My burden is light. My burden is light and my yoke is easy. Where Jesus Christ says that. And then you come in to where, like Gillette was talking about clean and unclean food, but essentially he was pretty well sidetracked by me trolling. And essentially him and Gillette lost. So they would not go ahead and let me speak. They simply had a whole bunch of nonsense. And folks, it's just like when news guy interviews Brian Reel. It doesn't really matter to me. I'm not trying to save Mamzers. I'm not trying to go ahead and have them view me as anything other than an enemy. Not at all. But I have seen, like I said, I've seen abuse, and then I've seen on the other side, to where essentially you have no control over any of them. And by going ahead and insisting that these people be white, Well, you're looked upon as somebody. How dare you go ahead? How dare you go ahead and raise the bar up so high? To say that you want to claim to be Christian today, you want to claim to be a pastor, you can't be a Jew. Or you can't be a Mamzer. Or you can't be this, or you can't be that. But essentially what you can't be is non-white. You don't belong in the body of Christ if you're not white. And I've made that point quite clear. And these people are all upset. I see the smartest one of them, old gender bender, pisser, puster possum, all upset because in the public mind, who's Christian identity? Well, it's not, you know, it's not Eli James. In some cases, some of them, more idiots are believing this, Bill Fink. But Fink doesn't like the part where I go ahead and bring about how he's just a psychotic Jew boy who went ahead and murdered a Puerto Rican prisoner when he was in jail. So, these people get quite annoyed that the ordinary people, when they think of someone who's Christian identity or Christian identity pastor, they think of the long-haired, half-bearded maniac in Granby, Missouri, who essentially wants to kill the entire world here because they're niggers, or because they're Jews, or because they're not quite white enough, or they're not pure, perfectly Aryan. And that is what I end up hearing. So, what to do? What to do? Anyway, getting on with it, you have these people who want to go ahead and change a number of things. And they want to come in, and, you know, during the last couple of days, I've been trolling them, and I've been trolling them hard. And I will go ahead and put up the chat, and I will go ahead and download the webpage, and pretty well analyze it, and bring it up. But I wanted to go ahead and get to Alex Linder. I went ahead and put a link, and I think I went ahead and covered this. But that's what struck me, is that Gillette said the same thing that Rounder did for, why did you take money from the Order Idiots? Linder's going on and on and on about that. Well, Linder, money's a good thing to have. You took money, essentially you've taken money secondhand from the Order. You went ahead and took money from Pierce, and where do you think Pierce got the money? When it comes down to it, if they wanted to go after you, you would be receiving stolen goods. So, Linder goes ahead and blames the Order for giving Trader Glenn Miller money. He said, why'd you take the money? He said, accepting stolen money is my biggest mistake back then. I screwed up, no doubt about it. Why? Because I was sick and tired of begging unsuccessfully for enough money to advance the White People's Party. $200,000 then equaled $600,000 now, by the way. Okay. Well, so in other words, you went ahead and you received the money. Because you weren't going to go ahead and get it. So here you are, essentially in the same shape that a caught fish is. Why'd you go ahead and bite down on the hook? And the answer is, well, hey, I seen a big old juicy nugget in there, and I didn't pay attention to the hook in there. And so I got caught. And now I'm going to end my days on a frying pan. Okay, was it worth it? In the case of Trader Glenn Miller, I don't know here. He didn't really go ahead and pay everything he had to pay. Neither did Gillette. If Gillette had gone ahead and refused the plea bargain, he was guilty as hell. He would have got 30 years for plotting to rob a bank. That's exactly what he would have got. So he went ahead and he got somebody caught and he got somebody taken down with him. But getting on with it, during the last week or so, Alex Linder is doing the same stupid shit that he did before he went ahead and snitched on bitch tits Bill White. And folks, looking at this, the calling Greg Johnson, Greg Johnson is a homosexual, lives in San Felix, Crisco. Okay. Fighting with other people who don't name the Jew hard enough. Well, folks, Linder got Linder got what he thought was a Jew to name himself as a Jew. And then when he got the Jew to name himself as a Jew, what did he do? He cowered. He cowered like a pussy. Why? Well, because he is a pussy. That's exactly what Linder is. he cowered because, hey, he was scared that he would get his ass whooped by some little character two-thirds the size. But let me see. He's gone ahead and gone with some, well-fed Hoosier who used to be with old Cuntair Wallace. And essentially, this character went ahead and answered him. Let's see. Oh, okay, well, good night, Northwest. I was glad you could be. Essentially, you can go. I'll try to go ahead and get this thing up and start going into my other ones that I'm going to have to sue Brian Real. I am going to have to sue him. Okay? So, alright. So, here you have. Okay. I guess Mass had to go to, I guess the kid from Massachusetts had to go to bed. Even though Irene didn't, deliver a, thing from a school here. Okay, well, he's still around. I misunderstood. But he goes ahead and he goes after this character named Matt Parrott. And he's the sort of character who hangs around with Jared Taylor of American Renaissance. And there's people who say Jared Taylor is married to a Jewess. He refuses to name a Jew. He has Jews among them. And folks, there's nothing good about that. It's not good to have a Jew with you. It's not good to have a Jew around you. A Jew will screw you up. But Matt Parrott essentially took a paid job as a moderator, and he would go ahead and censor people who would log on to American Renaissance with comments hostile to Jews. Now, folks, I don't think I've been to American Renaissance for a while, months, maybe half a year. Essentially, I don't really wish to go ahead and hear Whiggers who have it all whining about the death of the white race while they're sucking up to Jews. But in any case, this guy, Matt Parrott, said, for those familiar with the movement's backroom bullshit, Alex Linder occupies a unique niche in the pro-white universe. He's among our most gifted rhetoricians, but has virtually no visibility outside the Stuckman. This is partially due to his lack of involvement in street activism, but it's primarily due to his mission, protecting the white right from Jewish subversion and perversion through attacking and exposing those who deviate from his insistence on naming the Jew. Identifying the Jew as a single causative factor of our plight to the virtual exclusion of all others and avoiding compromise with or engagement with the Jews. Well, folks, I would say that Alex Linder is not a gifted rhetorician. Actually, I think of him usually as a gut-sick Guido weasel with Jew ass cancer. I think he might very well have a good deal of Jew in him. He's almost certainly a pussy. He pretends to be an English major, but his English is not of the best. I have been banned. He didn't know it was me. Although, essentially, as one character I got on and pretty well insulted him whining about against lone wolfism. He called it same as gay elfism. And I said, well, shoot, Linder, I mean, you might be a very big pussy, but essentially, until I see you going ahead and essentially leading a lynch mob, and be at the very head of it here, what the hell are you going to do about this sort of thing? And the answer is nothing. Now, the policy of my church essentially is to understand that we will have a collapse. This collapse cannot be avoided. This collapse cannot be negated. This collapse is what I call the Great Tribulation. I don't worry about the death of Yahweh's servant nation because Jesus Christ said he would be returning in order to save the remnant. And usually I'm talking to the remnant. Now, later, tonight I went ahead and talked to old Peerless Goodmanser, but he wanted to go ahead and know about August Christ, and I pretty well gave my analysis of August Christ. August Christ was not near... Although August Christ would pretend to be violent, he was not near as violent as, say, Ray Redfern. You know, he probably actually, you know, as far as I was concerned, I don't think he was a snitch like Gillette. But he might have been. He might have been. I don't know. I don't know for sure. I mean, it's entirely possible that the $33,000 they found was part of the money they split with Hal Turner. I don't know. I certainly know that he didn't get $33,000 one tart at a time at $25 a pop and $10 a month. Because tards usually don't pay their bills either. So, you know, I don't know where he would get $33,000. But on the other hand, I don't believe what Zog says. This prostitutor pretty well admitted that if old August had just been just an old, dumbass, old hippie who they thought had gone ahead and stolen or weaseled out a little bit extra money, essentially they would have just given him a slap on the wrist and just pretty well taken, you know, anything extra they shouldn't have and just simply garnish it for the next, couple payments. You know what I mean? But instead, they investigated the big bad Nazi, the big bad racist warrior, the guy who insulted Jerry Springer on his own show. And so they went after him. Now, did August Christ fight real hard to avoid being screwed? And the answer is hell no, he didn't. The poor man is not going to have any access to competent medical care outside of a prison. Essentially, he don't really care. He don't really care. From my Gary received the dishonorable discharge here. He was just an undisciplined young pup. But, you know, the August Christ I've heard about, and I've never met August Christ, is simply just a... Oh, he's just simply a... Well, he's just simply a mooch. He's just simply a sort of a pest. He's just simply someone who plays at stuff. You know, he's not a hardcore killer or anything like that here. You know, whereas I, what happens is that I understand that things are going to turn bad, and I am trying to tell these 10,000 warlords that's perfectly acceptable to exterminate the children and grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren of regime criminals. It's perfectly acceptable to kill Jews and Mamzers, millions and millions of them, and, you know, and millions of Uyghurs who cannot mind or cannot behave, who simply want to die in many cases. And give them a religious rationale for doing what needs to be done in any case. Okay? So, moving along, I went ahead and checked the chat real quick. Getting on with Matt Parrott. My number has come up for one of his famous roasts with a long and growing thread to evaluating me. Matt Parrott, American Ran Censorship, CMS Gatekeeping. Okay, well, let me go ahead and click on the little thread here. I think I went ahead and gave it to so that you folks can go ahead and read it. I do fail to meet his purity standards, and he is bound to figure that out sooner or later, and I was resigned to suffer this rite of passage in silence. I have, after all, fraternized with Jews and non-whites to very extents in the past. Okay, let's see. I've fraternized with Jews and non-whites in the past, and I guess old Matt Parrott, he doesn't really mind, you know, having a fuss here. This Matt Parrott is a little bit too Whiggish for my taste. But, folks, he is sort of racially aware. And as I look at it, let him do what he wants to do, what he thinks he's going to succeed in doing. Let him go ahead and try as best he can to, you know, work things out on his own. He's not Christian identity material, so why should I have any problem with him? He has not said anything about Christian identity. I'm not sure if he knows that Christian identity exists, although I think he does. But essentially, he probably don't want anything to do with us, so that's fine. He's not supporting Eli James or Finkelstein or Brian Real, So do I have a problem with that? Heck, I don't really have a problem with Lender. The last year and a half, I have been, this show started as a result of fighting with that thieving Visser. That thieving Mamzer Visser. And ever since, it has been fighting not so much with white nationalist people, but rather, although I have criticized them quite thoroughly, quite a bit, my complaint is with these, you know, people who pretend to be Christian identity, but who aren't. Brian Reel, Finkelschiede, Eli James. But he goes on and says, I'm responding despite my better judgment for two reasons. Lender makes some claims which are wrong enough to be refuted and asks some questions which are important enough to answer. Number one, is Matt Parrott a Holocaust affirmer? And I guess he says it's true. Alright, well, fine. Whatever. Does Matt Parrott censor people who name the Jews? With the exception, he says, of a guy named Jupiter who isn't even critical of Jews, I haven't deleted any comments which weren't clearly misaligned with the editorial policies of the site in question. In the case of my relatively brief tenure as American Red moderator, this did indeed involve deleting comments critical of Jewry. While I'm not a moderator at, you know, the Occidental Observer, I have from time to time cleaned up the comments. This is exclusively consisted of removing comments which were obsessively repetitive, incoherent, vulgar, or spam. He says it's a value judgment, but he says that, you know, there are such things as rogue moderators who are either intentionally or unintentionally making decisions which are incompatible with editorial policy. He says they come and go. It's sort of like McFag. He went ahead and made a decision to go ahead and ban somebody or censor somebody who went ahead and said Brian Reel wasn't white. It was brought to Covington's attention. There might have been something done about it, but hey, the forum in question disappeared. And from what I gather, McFag is no longer a moderator. And I'm not going to pull a McFag and whine like a pussy that, oh, Covington must go ahead and ban Steve Elder McFag. And the answer is why? Why should you do that? If McFag acts like too much of an ass clown, that's Harold Covington's lookout, not mine. I'm not going to go ahead and log on. I'm not going to go ahead and join Covington's forum. Because, really, I don't want Covington to be placed in a position to where he has to go ahead and censor me or go, you know, support somebody who has to censor me. Folks, I don't want, you know, I mean, part of being allied with somebody is that you're certain places where you don't go, which ain't going to advance anything. It's not going to accomplish anything. And so you don't go ahead and deliberately cause trouble for somebody, even though you do not like who he's with here. I despise McFag. I get a little tubal canite, you know, pinkish mamzer, but, you know, essentially, Covington has not obsessively censored me on his Facebook page. I've made the point is that, hey, Facebook is simply a tard corral. Now over there, you have somebody went ahead and let in 16 characters who like impersonating niggers, and essentially it's become even more of an ass clown, you know, hole than it was before. Meanwhile, McFag's North Pest Imperative Sangria Reserve is, well, very much a tart corral. That's all it's ever going to be. And McFag doesn't have wit enough to go ahead and post anything new. Neither do any of his tars. They just go ahead and obsessively post YouTube links. None of them have any ability to go ahead and write or do any original thinking. Well, why am I not surprised about that? But this guy named Matt Parrott, he makes the point is that over at American Renaissance, he was paid to delete comments which are, you know, which are critical of Jews. Well, fine. I don't make posts on American Renaissance, so Mr. Parrott has never criticized me, since I do think that they are over-friendly with Jews. Essentially, I don't want to go ahead and post on some Wiggers post here, which essentially is sort of Jew-friendly. I mean, what's the point to that? You know, going ahead and demanding that I go ahead and be banned from somebody's forum? or rather, if I get too annoyed, simply just taking what they write and, pretty well putting on my form and tearing it or ridiculing the crap out of it, which is my preferred. Making a parody of what these idiots want to do. And I do that quite a bit, especially with old Gender Bender, especially with 2.5 Mamsers posts, but sometimes with 4 Fag Feeds posts, sometimes with VNNF posts. But essentially, Matt Parrott says, if you're angry about the site's editorial policy, such as Amran's decision to be welcoming to Jews, then that's not really between you and the moderator, that's between you and the site. It's not a secret that criticizing Jews is unwelcome there, and I'm baffled that people spend the time to write something that's foreordained to get deleted, then become angry when the inevitable occurs. And that's true. So, Pearson's Law. Any organization does not overtly and explicitly exclude Jews will in time be subverted and taken over by them. Well, folks, I agree with Alex Linder, what he said. The thing about it is that, shoot, it's even more disgusting in Christian identity when supposedly these Jews are supposed to be the spawn of Satan, and they let in Jews like Eli James. Most of the trolling I've done is saying, why does Eli James look so much like a Chicago Sephardic Jew named Joseph Cutts / November? Why does he look so much like a Jew? Why does he look so much like a Jew? Well, I got my own belief. I believe that Jew there, I mean, maybe I need to go ahead and do some digging, but it wouldn't surprise me if that Jew was, little Mordecai Cutts November, squeezed out of Eli James's, Esther Kaika's sister, Rachel, or maybe Leah. Who knows? It would surprise me a bit. So here you have, think as a Jew name, and they go ahead and go after why Samuelson's a Jew name, why there are, I guess, millions of Jews on the lone prairies of South Dakota. Although, to my knowledge, the only time that you ever seen a Jew was, I'm sure that there were some in Pierce, South Dakota, which is the state capital, and state capitals, even county seats, attract Jews, or Jew lawyers, but not Jew farmers. I don't know if there is such a thing as a Jew farmer. I'm sure that there are some, but in any case, most of the Jew farmers, I think, is on the, the bandit shitty state of Kazakhstan on the Jordan, not on the plains of South Dakota, trying to make as best they can on dry land wheat farming. Okay? But, Pearson says, I believe that's true, presuming, of course, the organization question matters. Until that happens, the organization can be a useful vehicle. And I guess he is saying that either American Renaissance or VNNF, VNNF here, I mean, essentially, he isn't worried about it. If he doesn't agree with what these organizations do, then, hey, he's going to go ahead and form his own. So he says that he's named the Jew, he's... Linder is bitching about Kevin McDonald. Folks, Kevin McDonald probably wouldn't even want to acknowledge that such a quitter as Alex Linder even exists. Wouldn't even want to admit this quitter exists, other than the fact that Alex Linder keeps on shitting on him. For no good reason. I seen this interview by Jim Giles, and by the way, from my Garrett, people have told me that Jim Giles has taken down his website. Well, folks, if it has just one post to say that you have to be retired, you have to be military, in order to go ahead and join, here he is, spent $280 in order to go ahead and get money, and essentially he limits the comments to only himself and retired military personnel or active duty military personnel, and he just goes ahead and posts every so often when the urge strikes him, be it quail farmers or be it Craig Roberts. Folks, I have listened to his interviews. He's the exact opposite of me. He is a wonderful interviewer, Jim Giles is. When he isn't screaming that he wants to break some lawyer's neck here for no good reason. Or he's mad at me. You know, I mean, he was screaming at me. And, well, I can't really bitch about that because I wanted him to scream at me. I wanted him to scream at Edgar Steele. And essentially, I think I pretty well punctured the wind out of his sails because pretty well on the 31st of July of 2010, he said he didn't give a fuck for the white race. So then he took it down because, hey, it revealed too much about him. And then later on, he interviewed Wiggersquill. So go ahead and hunt down Covington. He was Hog the Pounty Cunter. Well, no, he wasn't. He's going to go ahead and hunt down Covington. I said, why in the world would you want to do that? I mean, look, let's say Wiggersquill tries to go ahead and actually collect $200,000 from Harold Covington. If he tries to go ahead and do that, this, you know, I went ahead and listened to Wiggersquill interview. Essentially, it boiled down to Wiggersquill coming up with a crooked judge who was out to kick Covington out of North Carolina. That's all he gave a shit for. Essentially, it wasn't meant for anything, you know, just to go ahead and give, you know, give Wiggersquill Williams an excuse, an upper hand to harass Covington, but mainly to drive Covington out of North Carolina because they had enough Covington shit in North Carolina. And that's all it was about, really. If it comes to actually going ahead and collecting, Harold Covington might very well have a right to go ahead and say, hey, look, this judge made an improper statement. Essentially, Wiggersquill Williams was not due $10,000 in actual damages because he didn't suffer $10,000. You shouldn't have given him $10,088 because you're supporting a Nazi. You should not have gone ahead and given him $100,000 in punitive damages. Shouldn't have done that. Essentially, you should have gone ahead and proved what damage there was. And there was no damn damage to Wiggerswell. When he went ahead, as far as I'm concerned, Covington told the truth about Benny Buttfuck Klassen. He was just nothing more than a damn Jew who went ahead, a self-hating Jew, went ahead and came up with a religion for Anglo-Mestizo creatards. And folks, I would just as soon them creatards believed in creatardivity. I have enough of Mamsers and Christianity Day. I would say, oh, I wish Brian Real would become a creatard. I wish Eli James would become a creatard. I wish Finkelschini and all the rest of these idiots and Mamsers and Tards, I wish they would all become creatards. Please, go ahead and become creatards. Please, just get out of a religion which has nothing for you and in which you go ahead and you come in and you find out that there are people there who have been, you know, I mean the dual seed line version. You know, and I'll give Visser credit for this here. He has found out that pretty well the dual seed line version was mentioned by St. Justin Martyr, by Tertullian, by a number of the early church fathers. Not the early church fathers like Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ, when he got pissed off at these dirty Jews, he just let them have it in John chapter 8. They were coming up with this crap, well, we were Abraham's children and never did we know slavery. Yeah, it's because you're Edomite Jews, you dirty bastards. No, you never knew slavery. You're just dirty Jews here. You're spawn of Satan here. Your father's father of lies here, and you believe these lies, you love these lies. Your father was a murderer, aka Cain. So hey, he went ahead and he named who their daddy was, Satan the devil and Cain. And he went ahead and put them in the dozens. He got tired of the crap. I bet Jesus Christ sometimes wished that there was a Ben Klassen back then here, so they wouldn't be crawling into Christianity and trying to change it like Eli James does, like Fink does, to make it papist preterism, to make it something more loving to Jews and Mamsers. You get tired of this crap here. I really do, anyway. I really do. So, getting on with it. Well, yeah, well, Wiggersquill was a leader here. Essentially, what he was is that he was first with Benny Klassen, then he was with Pierce.
essentially, I think Pierce and Morris Gillette, not Morris Gillette, Morris Dees, essentially conspired, because Covington was saying, quite truthfully, is that, hey, Pierce got money from the order, just like Trader Glenn Miller did. And folks, I mean, if I had to do it, I'm glad I never joined the order. I never heard of the order. I'm certainly glad I didn't get involved with it, because, hey, they were necessary. And I revere the sacrifices they made. Bruce Pierce and David Lay. I used to correspond with David Lay through his wife. But, I didn't agree with David Lane's wardenisms, horseshit. But, hey, he didn't give me a hard time. And he did give me a hard time about, what do you think about Dan Gaiman? And I said, well, what did Dan Gaiman do? Well, Dan Gaiman accepted money from the order, and then he went ahead and rat us out for Smith. I said, well, hey, Dan Gaiman was a traitor then. Dan Gaiman should have just simply said, hey, I went ahead and prayed to Yahweh for this money, and then here it arrived in a brown paper bag. Who am I to question the will of Yahweh? But Don Gaiman didn't want to go ahead. If he received stolen money and then he went ahead and decides to go ahead and snitch, what he should have done is said, hey, boys, I have enough money for my own needs. I don't need any money. I don't know what to do with any money. I'm not going to try to go ahead and get a whole bunch of idiots running around. And that's what gets me, is the order, essentially, every single one of their gifts of money, pretty well destroyed. It wasn't like fertilizer, which would go ahead and nurture things, with the exception, I believe, of William Pierce. But William Pierce was a Zogbot. William Pierce essentially took the money, and then as a result, he didn't have the religious faith to just simply say, screw you, this is a long time ago, I'm going to deny that I received any money from the order. Essentially, I don't care if I spend the last 2 months of my life in prison. Essentially, I'm going to go ahead and give my organization to, say, Billy Roper. And I think he might very well still have a National Alliance if he'd given it to Billy Roper. There's some people, I don't know what the big deal about is about Billy Roper here. I mean, Gillette used to dislike him in Tesla. Now he's going, want to go ask him out with Billy Roper here. I'm sort of suspicious to what the hell's going on that. I'm going to go ahead and ask Billy Roper. Billy, please, don't associate with Gillette. He's just going to go ahead and get people in trouble like he did before. He's a snitch. He got $500,000. If he's going to give you some, well, yeah, maybe you ought to go there. But, hey, no, I wish you wouldn't, unless you're getting something good for it. Quid pro quo. And even then, here, don't trust Gillette. Gillette doesn't like you. And I don't know why John Britton doesn't like Billy Roper. He just thinks Billy Roper, I guess, is, he's a Pierceite, arrogant asshole. So, I don't know. Probably. But I don't know. Billy Roper, if you got that DVD, and when it comes up on YouTube, Billy Roper was nothing less than supportive to Pastor Butler. He was nothing other than polite to me. He went ahead and let me have my say. Essentially, he let everybody who wanted to talk have a say. He had some skinhead. And I didn't really, he's a nice skinhead, but, he actually talked more like an English professor than a skinhead. I don't know what the deal was with that here, but hey, he let everybody have their say. The only thing he insisted is don't come up there in your little uniform here, and that's why the National, or not the National, what, NSM, National Socialist Movement here, which are a bunch of creatards and idiots, as far as I'm concerned, run around in uniform, doesn't accomplish anything. All it does is just simply make, essentially let the people go ahead and yell and scream at neo-Nazis here. Folks, I went to one such rally. I really don't tend to go to another one. Folks, we live in an internet age where we can go ahead, essentially, I could put, for $20, I could put a webcam on, and we could have a rally, we could have a conference, without Jews, without niggers screaming, without pigs taking down your license plate. We could go ahead and have a rally, and we could go ahead and put it on a DVD. Essentially, we could go ahead and have a Congress of Revolutionary Effectives. But, folks, the only reason for that to do would be, essentially, to go ahead and show that we have some strength here. The fact of the matter is that most of us cannot stand one another. I was trying to get Covington to go ahead and make peace with old cut hair Wallace. You know, hair. Neither cut hair nor Covington want to have anything to do with it here. I said, well, hey, we ought to. All three of us are on Linder's shit list, official shit list. You know, I mean, Covington, he's number one. I'm number two. And they won't even spell my name right. They like the SPLCADL on that. And then you. You know? And, by the way, Linder's been giving, you know, poor old cut hair a hard time. And old cut hair's noticed it. And essentially, you know, Wallace don't give a shit. A year or so ago, maybe 2 years ago, old cut hair Wallace would have been all butthurt over it. He ain't butthurt over it now because he realizes that Linder doesn't have much of anything going except card corral. Okay? And anyway, this Matt character, he went ahead and he pointed out is that Kevin McDonald does what he does here. He's Jew-wise. He's gone ahead and wrote books about the Jews, about how they're a nasty tribe here who goes ahead and insinuates themselves, a tribe that will, you know, be a part here. Well, folks, I've gone ahead and read the old summary done by McDonald about what his books are about. And folks, I don't have a problem with them, but on the other hand, I'm not going to spend any of my money on them. I mean, shoot, what the hell do I need to know about dirty Jews? They're the spawn of Satan. I mean, what more do you want? And, you know, I understand is that he's an old man. He's not going to go ahead and lynch any Jews. He's not going to shoot any Jews. So, I mean, you know, folks, I don't think he wants to be associated, you know, pretty much with people like me. And that's okay. I mean, what of it? I mean, he's not taking anything away from me. Kevin McDonald isn't. But here's Linder. He has to go ahead and piss on Kevin McDonald. Why? Why? I mean, shoot. You know, it's a gut sick weedo weasel Jew ass cancer here. You're probably doing most of your pissing into your colostomy bag here. Anyway. So, anyway, he goes ahead and answers. His strategy is polarization. And that begins by attacking conservatives, not, you know, mixing them. It would be interesting to see someone who disagrees explain why I'm wrong, but I don't expect that to happen. And, you know, he goes ahead and takes a crack at it. He says, well, look, folks, what's the point of attacking conservatives? What does Linder have to set in place of it? A few Zog bucks by Trader Glenn Miller, a few worthless tards, a third of whom are Jews. So he goes ahead and says, Linder goes ahead and says a number of things here. But essentially, this Matt Parrott went ahead and responded to Linder. And I think he responded to Linder fairly good. Hey, Linder, you're irrelevant. Okay? Well, I like Billy Roper. There's some people who don't much care for Billy. I mean, Chris, you know, for some reason, a lot of Christian identity people don't like Billy Roper, and I've been trying to go ahead and say, well, hey, why? I mean, Billy Roper has never been anything other than fair to me. Now, he got a little bit annoyed at Covington a while back ago. Accused Covington of using a sock puppet in his name, and I don't think Covington did. But, you know, hey, I mean, any relationship between Covington and Billy Roper, because Billy Roper, when it comes down to it, is a Pearsite. And the Pearsites and the Covingtonistas never got along. That's why I gotta wonder what the hell is it with all these creatards at Covington? Why, shoot, he was even harder on the creatards than he was, you know, the parasites. He was even harder on them. If you're a true-blooded creatard and you really reveal Benny Klassen, I mean, you should hate, you know, not so much me. I mean, I don't much care for Benny Klassen. But I've been pretty well using talking points provided by Harold Covington. Although I really, you know, I mean, I've noticed that the people are almost always, oh, Anglo Mestizos. But on the other hand, there are some creatures I get along with, like Craig Cobb. You know, I mean, shoot, don't be like this idiot called Ghost who tried to convert poor old Corn Cobb to Christian identity. I don't want Corn Cobb in the Christian identity church. He don't want to be in the Christian identity church. So we're both agreed on that here. We both don't want Corn Cobb to become Christian identity. So as a result, I can get along with fairly good with Corn Cobb. Corn Cobb was never anything other than polite to me. And I was never anything other than polite to Corn Cobb. Okay? And, you know, I mean, John Britton, like, you know, he knew, you know, James Von Brunn a whole lot better than I did. But hey, I was on, well, he'd go ahead and send me emails. And that was okay. I mean, there was a few people I didn't approve of that, you know, like the, you know, Boston Tea Party, run by this libertoon, which is associated with this character I call Judas Knapp from Missouri. Worthless little, you know, a worthless little weasel here who essentially redefines libertarianism to benefit him every single time. Okay? So there are a few people that Von Brunn liked that I did not, but, you know, hey, I don't get to tell James Von Brunn what to do. Well, certainly not now that he's dead. But yeah, I really did like James Von Brunn. Even though he was mainly a creatard, but hey, he didn't give us Christian identity a hard time. In fact, he went out to this Area Nation thing, and John Britton says that he accidentally ran over Butler's dog. Didn't mean to, but accidentally, and Butler, I guess, didn't hold it against Von Braun. He stayed the night over at Trader Glenn Miller's over in Aurora, and then Trader Glenn Miller was making what a big deal about what a buddy-buddy he was, and then once James Von Braun found out about what Trader Glenn Miller was done, he wasn't too thrilled with that. And it's not on that tape, but essentially if Trader Glenn Miller would have showed up to May, pretty well the Christian identity people would have beat his ass. There would have been a riot within a white nationalist riot over Trader Glenn Miller. Because, hey, he had, you know, Butler had four or five, you know, not just Rick Spring, but he had about four or five bodyguards, and I recognized a couple of them, you know, those deep woods Christian identity. You know, I mean, deep, deep woods. I mean, essentially, there might very well have been a sort of riot if Trader Glenn Miller would have showed up. And I think Trader Glenn Miller knew it. Trader Glenn Miller does not like having his ass whipped. Okay? Jeff Shoup's outfit. I stay away from Jeff Shoup. I've heard a number of stuff about Jeff Shoup. I don't know if it's true or not. There's no point in running around with Jeff Shoup and his bunch because, well, I don't believe in running around in uniform. I went to that one rally. One rally, and if there wouldn't have been Pastor Richard Butler, I wouldn't have gone there. I wanted to see Butler before he died. And I got a plus here, and I got to see Linder, and I got to see Linder acting like a chicken shit. You know, and the rest of them acting pretty good. But, you know, Linder is just chicken shit. So, pretty well I got to see a few extra people, and I like Billy Roper. You know. And I guess me and Billy Roper were polite to each other, and there really is not no big problem here. I mean, Billy Roper, he was supporting Rick Spring, but he had the decency when I chewed on his ass and said, hey, Rick Spring, some character that nobody knows anything about, who doesn't have anybody, you know, among the elders of Christian identity to support him. All right, there's just no... You know, he's not going to go ahead and be Butler's successor, no matter how much you want here. And essentially you had this Jonathan Williams come in. Jonathan Williams was just a Baptist hobbyist. He was playing Christian Identity. You had a mud shark as a sister or a girlfriend or whatever. And Jonathan Williams is no longer in Christian Identity. I wish most of them were like that. Once they get caught, I wish they would leave and never come back. But hey, like this or they just got to come back and back and back and back, even though we know they're Mamzers. And I think I'm going to keep Visser out. There's no sense in, well, essentially, now that I've gone ahead and seen Visser's full brother, not half brother, full brother, looks like a beaner, looks like, you know, well, he's American Indian. Yeah, well, he's not white then, is he? If he's your full brother and he's an American Indian, as opposed to just a beaner, I mean, how in the world can you go ahead and get, you know, as a pastor in Christian Identity? Brian Wright, same thing. Brian Reel, his problem is a shoot. He has to take down every picture which shows him as a nigger or a gook or a beaner. And he's had to essentially go and claim that he has a copyright to stuff he does not have a copyright on at all. And when the litigation occurs, essentially, his bullshit will go ahead and fall down like a house of cards. And so will all these corporations, because they're not going to feel like going ahead and paying $450 a lawyer for a corporate lawyer to go ahead and defend them. Thing about it is that Brian Reel doesn't have a copyright. He went ahead and used that claim as a means of taking down web pages critical of him, and so did Eli James, and so did William Fink, with the collusion of Dan Johns, Gerald Mosley, Jeremy Visser, and others here. So we will get to, we'll get to the heart of this to where, hey, guess what? You people essentially are engaged in censorship against a different, you know, against really the true church. Okay? Okay, well, Kingdom Identity, it puts out fairly good stuff. Alexander Hamilton was, Alexander Hamilton's mother was a Scottish whore, and everybody thinks his father was a Jew. And what he was is he was a little Rothschild's agent in America. And from what I gather, Cornwallis didn't want to see George Washington at the surrender, but he predicted that essentially the Bank of England would control American financing, and that's certainly what ended up happening up here. Thomas Jefferson, we don't need no bank. We don't want no bank. Banks are against farmers. Banks are against the yeoman. Banks are against the white men. I want this to be a white country. Don't want no damn banksters. And Andrew Jackson. Oh, he got his picture on the $20 bill. And I don't know why. Because he did his best to destroy Jew banksters by destroying the Second Bank of the United States Charter, refusing to let it be chartered. And, oh, by the way, some of the Indians over at the Red Nigger Casino, they don't like pictures of Andrew Jackson because, well, he moved them out of Georgia, Tennessee, points east of the Mississippi River to Oklahoma on the Trail of Tears, boo-hoo-hoo, boo-hoo-hoo, boo-hoo-hoo. So there are some, you know, most of them don't mind a $20 bill, but there's a few who like pretending, who have supposedly have a fit, and who every so often go through about 5 minutes of whining every year to ban $20 bills, you know, in the Red Nigger casinos. Well, folks, $20 are about the most common. Well, $5 are really the most common. But, or $1 or something like that. But, you know, they just say, hey, look, yes, he was awful. Andrew Jackson was awful. But, hey, money's money. Okay? Okay. Anyway, I'll go ahead and look here. You know, but the thing about it is Alexander Hamilton was a, well, he was a Jew. You know, he was half Jew from his dad. He was a Rothschild's agent. He went ahead and he brought central bank strength to the United States, regardless of what's said. And this piece of shit, George Marshall, in McCulloch versus Maryland, helped him every step of the way. These Federalists essentially wanted a strong central government so that they could go ahead and loot the common people, especially the farmers. And Thomas Jefferson said, hey, enough of that shit. Enough of that shit. We're not going to have it anymore. Okay? So, getting on with Linder here. Getting on with Linder is that you have Matt Parrott. Essentially, he doesn't pay too much attention to Linder. But he did go ahead and answer Linder. Now, in the meantime, you have Greg Johnson, and he's going ahead. He's hanging around Linder as well. And Linder has sort of gotten all obsessed with this Matt Parrott. Now, this Matt Parrott, you go ahead and look at him. He looks like one of the guys on there here. He's sort of plump. He's married with a couple kids. He's a Hoosier from Paoli, Indiana. And I once went to Paoli. It's a nice little town in Indiana. Clean town in Indiana. I went ahead and picked up, I think I went ahead and delivered some cabling or something like that, some wire cable. And I picked up a load of furniture going to Jersey, as I remember here. And Paoli was a nice place. It was not a bad place at all. Nice little town here. You have these towns in Indiana, Indiana and Michigan, which were settled by mainly Germans, and essentially it's about the closest America ever looks to Germany. I mean, real clean towns. They don't have any brush like they do in Missouri or Oklahoma. They have the thing maintained about as, these towns in Indiana, where you've had, pretty well German people, German farmers, German parentage, they're clean towns. At least that's what I've noticed here. Now, the most beautiful landscape I've really seen, the most park-like, is in western Kentucky. That looks very nice here. But as far as towns, I'm talking about big cities. I'm not talking about a shithole like Indianapolis. Far more than Ohio. But I'm talking about Indiana and South Michigan, South Michigan. Why, hey, they're about as nice a looking of towns, small towns, as any of you have ever seen. And Paoli was fairly nice looking. I think they're a little bit better looking in further north Indiana. But this Matt Hoosier, or Matt Parrott, why, he's not my cup of tea, but, Linder is having a fit, was having a fit about him. Then he was having a fit about Greg Johnson. Now, when he went ahead, Linder, I believe the VNNF is a data mining operation, just like Four Fags Thieves. Four Fags Thieves is you have three Belgian supported Jews going ahead and collecting it. And recently, I posted on my page something that was discovered by this little Jew boy talking to Fade the Butcher, a.k.a. Hunter Wallace, or as I call him, Cunt Hair, way back in 2005, and the little Jew boy lived with his mother, was studying lawyer in Belgium. And essentially, I think he's a little Jew boy, and he runs Four Fags Thieves, and that's a data mining site to go ahead and collect IP numbers and keep an eye on, quote, dangerous white supremacists. Okay? So, you're going to have to wait, dear. Let's go ahead and... Okay. Yeah, he's somewhat of a Mormon. And Yid Linder bitching about Mormonism. You know, not near as much as Christian Identity, you know, like he was, like I was saying last week here, you know, when old Gender Bender was pretending to be an Oscar Mayer wiener. Okay. Alrighty. Well, let's, the thing about Mike Hallamore is Mike Hallamore is white. He is dual seed line Christian Identity. My only problem with Hallamore, well, I guess I think he's too polite with Eli James and the Jews. My problem with him is that as a result of claiming copyrights, he sort of acts like a sort of bottleneck for the study of Christian Identity. But on the other hand, he did go, I mean, I was thinking reprinting the AIT course, but I went ahead and listened to his interview on Eli James, and folks, I'm not going to go ahead and do that. He might very well have a copyright. If someone went ahead and gave him the AIT course, then I'm going to have to go ahead and live with that. You know what I mean? Although I could ask, you know, shoot, could you please just have a cheaper edition to where, hey, the people want to play Christian Identity, they can give the $100 version, and you go ahead and give the $5 version out to people who want to go ahead and just print it up on their own paper as a PDF file. I really would appreciate if you do that. But, you know, hey, I have no fight with Mike Hallamore. Anyway, where was I? Okay, I went ahead and put that thing in. Let me go ahead and take a quick break because Roxy needs me to go ahead. And I'm going to go ahead and go along with old Alex Linder's fight with Cunt Hair Wallace and Greg Johnson. And I think it means that essentially he's trying to get advance ability to go ahead and say I told you so, because I think he's going to go ahead. I bet that he has not learned his quote lesson because he is a data mining, you know, data mining clown. I think that Mr. Keith, you know, or Kevin, or Keith Harfum, I forget what it was, or aka Joe Snuffy, I think Mr. Snuffy is going to find out that he is being testified, that Alex Linder will be a witness for the prosecution against him when this Seattle bionic backpack thing, like Harold Covington says, finally comes to court. So we're going to go ahead and take a little bit of a break. And there's nothing much really going on in the bowel movement, you know, other than what I've found out today or over this weekend I'm going to go ahead and reveal about these Christian Identity posers. Pretty well over on Sperm Front, Mark Downey is getting a little more polished, but essentially he's still a clown. I've noticed I tried to create a sock puppet and get over on Sperm Front, and essentially they're not accepting, it seems, any new members. They're saying that because of we do not encourage spammers, we are not going to go ahead and let you make your account. So I'm going to go ahead and try another time. I'm not sure if they're even accepting new members. I've heard from Jet and John is that, you know, the Stormfront is suffering financial difficulties because, hey, folks, the people that they rely on are suffering more financial difficulties than even most people are. But, you know, no less than the general population. So, I'm going to go ahead and cover Alex Linder, and why I think that he's going to be snitching on Mr. Kevin Harfum in a short while. And then I'll go ahead and make a break of it here. Okay? Weasel, an ass clown just barely sleazing.
Wiggus, we can rebuild it. We have the Order Zogbox. We have the capability to make the world's first bionic ass clown. Alex Linder will be that bionic ass clown. Dumber than it was before. Anal. Vulgar. Ass clown.
What have you. It doesn't make much sense to me. But Linder, let's see if I go ahead and have that on there. I went ahead and I think I put that link on there, did I? Oh, okay. Does Bill really play the banjo? Billy, I have no idea. He's somewhat of a creatard. He doesn't really like Christian Identity. But he likes Liar Bill even less. And Liar Bill claimed to be, he had 12 followers or something like that. Then Banjo Billy said, well, I run a martial arts establishment. Well, I'll just go ahead and bring 4 of mine. Then, Liar Bill then claimed that he was going to come unarmed with only a female and another guy for company. And, I don't know, I think Liar Bill went ahead and wussied out, but I have no idea whether Banjo Billy did or not either. So maybe we'll hear about it tomorrow, okay? So, Banjo Billy, he calls himself Banjo Billy. He's over on Four Fags, Thieves, stumble in. And he has this little Nazi thing here. And he has little Nazi symbols arranged just like a Confederate battle flag. I think it's pretty neat. Pretty neat avatar. But... okay, I already went ahead and put the VNNF here. I'm going to go ahead and cover Linder going on. Now, at the very start of the forum, page, he did nothing but obsess about Matt Parrott. Nothing but obsess. And then he had a few little tards go ahead and go along with him. Like nice little meerkats. And then he had Hatting the meerkat. Hank says, Parrott is one of these people who think that's what's wrong with Jews is they didn't accept Christianity. They are Pharisees. Well, maybe, maybe not. Kieski, and the guy's name is Rob Friedman. I don't know if he's a Jew or not. He goes ahead and says, well, I'm friends with Matt Parrott for a year and a half now. And he likes Matt Parrott. And then Hatting goes ahead and says some other stupid shit. But, he says that this Matt Parrott's goal is to organize Middle America. So he doesn't tend to talk Holocaust to Tea Party people. Essentially, he's going to try to go ahead, I guess, sneak in white nationalism past, their head by talking about something else. I don't think that's going to happen. But Linder goes ahead and he whines and whines and whines about this here. But someone said, I remember Alex said one should not criticize someone, one who is doing public action, two is not making us look bad. And then Linder says, I don't recall ever saying that. No one makes me look bad but me. Those worried about how we look or how often we are how they're making us look are effeminate. It's a conservative mindset, not a radical one, not anything I share at all. But he says, you may not believe it, but change is likely to come out of NSM than the Regnery clique. Look, Linder, the NSM are just a bunch of nothing but tards. From what I gather, this Jeff Shoup, he ran out on a previous family, moved to Milwaukee, and there's people who say that... essentially took up with a mud shark. He has a step nigger daughter. Now, is that true or not? And the answer is I don't know. I really don't know. But folks, the NSM has been in decline
for what I gather, for about a year or so. They had this guy named Harrington, who's a Satanist or something like that. I mean, folks, the thing about it is that sooner or later, young people who go ahead and like running around in uniform, sooner or later they grow up. Sooner or later, they want to get a job, make a living wage for their family, and yes, it's getting harder and harder and harder. And in many cases, you might very well have a rebellion by those people, those kind of people. But the problem of it is they're not disciplined. They don't know how to go ahead and act militarily. They don't know how to go ahead and do things. All they know how to do is just brawl. And that is not something that's going to go ahead and create anything. Now, on the other hand, these people do nothing but right. They're even less likely to go ahead and do anything, because all they can go ahead and think about is what sounds nice or what sounds appealing to other intellectuals who are the ones who even read their books and thus are in a position to criticize. Most people do not go ahead and read a bunch of words at all. Never did. Never will. So, you know, Linder just goes in and says, well, the NSM does have the right approach and these intellectuals don't. And the answer is, well, maybe. But Linder, what are you doing? You don't believe in lone wolf action. You don't believe in you going ahead and actually risking anything. I mean, when I seen you, you were scared shitless of a little guy two-thirds your size who you thought might be a Jew. You were just sitting there like a pussy. I didn't see anything. I didn't hear any talk about going ahead and killing the Jew then, beating the Jew down. I mean, I was sort of enjoying your little flummox, Linder. I think Ben Vineyard might have too, but essentially he found a way out of it by going ahead and asking this guy if he was a Jew, and he said no, he wasn't a Jew. Kind of Jew, not Klein a Jew, kind of Jew. And I went ahead and said that on the Newsmanzer show tonight. And folks, we're going to have a bunch of movement turds, because I'm going to go ahead and take what was said on Gillette's show, and I'm going to go ahead and take what was said on the News Guy show. So we'll probably have a bunch of interesting movement turds for this coming week. But what gets me is that Linder has no solution. All Linder does is go ahead and talk like he means something. Hadding? Hadding's a pussy. Linder's a pussy too. Someone who's either pseudo-sophisticated or bent on subversion. Subversion of what, Linder? There's nothing to subvert among white nationalism. How's somebody going to subvert your wonderful little card corral? Paid for by Trader Glenn Miller, in turn paid for out of the petty cash drawer of the Department of Zogland Insecurity. Linder's going ahead and whining about, you know, how our children are hectored in public school. Well, Linder, the homeschooling people here have done far, the Christian homeschooling people have done far more about taking children out of public schools in Missouri. Is pretty well the leader in homeschooling. So you have Kieske and you have all that here. So Kieske says you got to go with the army you have, not the army you want. And he's saying, well, the ideology is not enough. And they go ahead and go on and on and on about that. And I'll probably go ahead. It's getting late. You have, what, 200 posts. Well, what do I think is going to be the end result of it? You've had Linder essentially admit in 2009, after making a big deal about Greg Johnson was a homosexual,
who lived in San Francisco, where I think homosexuals, if you're going to be a faggot, you ought to be in San Francisco here. Now, I don't really want to go to San Francisco. So, I prefer South Dakota here if I'm going to move somewhere out of Missouri. So, you know, if they go to San Francisco, all the faggots go to San Francisco, I mean, that's a good thing as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I'm not going to worry about what faggots do to each other in San Francisco. I make fun of what they do, like Cousin Randy does in McClellan Park, but McClellan Park is only 27 miles away from me. San Francisco is what, 1,500, 2,000 miles? I mean, it's nothing to me what they do out there. But just like what he did is Linder will go ahead and seek some other thing to make a big deal about, while at the same time essentially running a data mining mill. Now, I made the same thing back in March where I said, don't join any white nationalist organizations, don't join any forums, don't join any of this, because essentially Zog is paying attention. Now, the NNF, they have SPLC operatives, you know, I'm sure they do, ADL operatives, who are going ahead and digging up every old post and cataloging it as a matter of scale. And essentially, Joe Snuffy, a.k.a. Keith Harpham, went ahead and made one, which looks sort of ominous, that somehow they managed to go ahead and dig up and keep and maintain up in their own little records. I don't think Mr. Harpham would be in trouble at all if he had simply not gotten on VNNF, VNN forum. Linder, for all his pretending that essentially the revolution is going to come out of VNN, you know, VNN forum, it's not. Because a third of Linder's, you know, just like John the Nutjob noticed, is on Jew Holy Days, Linder's traffic drops by a third. And not just by a normal third, it drops by the main third that counts here. I remember 2 years ago, you had this character called F.W. Braun. F.W. Braun pretended to be, he went ahead and had a young Hitler youth avatar, blonde, blue-eyed, German, you know, wearing an NS uniform. And then around late June 2009, he revealed that he was tired of all these anti-Semites posting anti-Semitic canards about Jews. Really. F.W. Braun was a Jew, an anti-Christian Jew. Worst anti-Christian Jew really ever. Other than Linder. And what the heck did they accomplish? And the answer is they didn't accomplish nothing. Didn't want to accomplish anything. So, well, it looks like I've pretty well lost a lot of the audience here. I know some of them. I'm getting pretty tired. But I predict, I'm going to go ahead and make a prediction, just like with Edgar Steele, they wouldn't make Bond. They would be railroaded. Sent in front of an Idaho jury and screwed. I'm going to go ahead and make a prediction is that Alex Linder is not going to learn anything from Bill White, that he's going to go ahead and maintain Mr. Harpham's, you know, IP number and everything else, and they're going to go ahead and prove that he was a big neo-Nazi that posted on the NNF. And that means that he went ahead and came up with a bionic backpack. And essentially, you're going to have another tard suffer prison terms. He's already suffered, what, 6 months in prison? March, April, May, June, July, August. Well, September. Yeah, about 6 months prison. As a result of being associated with Alex Linder and VNNF. I think that possibly, they already have this record that Linder has been told not to go ahead and take down. He's been told not to go ahead and tell anything about it.
But sure enough, when the time comes to testify, Linder will be testifying. He's going to be singing like a canary. That's what I bet. That's what I believe is going to happen. So, just like you had after Linder pulled this crap in December 2009, snitching against Bill White, he could have removed Bill White's, you know, Bill White's information. He banned Bill White. There was no reason to keep his information once Bill White didn't come back. But he knew Bill White. Everybody knew Bill White would eventually go to trial. And so a week before the trial, here comes the subpoena from the marshal's office. And when it's in there, Linder goes ahead and testifies against Bill White. Essentially testifies is that there's no way to go ahead and change things on a V-Bulletin for him. The hell there ain't. I know different. I run a V-Bulletin for him myself. I can make V-Bulletin do a lot of tricks. I can make V-Bulletin forum essentially do whatever the heck it wants to do, within reason. I can't read passwords, but I can go ahead and take over somebody's account. So, how do you know that Linder didn't do that? I believe that Linder did do that. I believe that Linder is just simply a lying rat. I believe that Linder essentially works for Zog. So that's why nobody, Matt Parrott, not really anybody, pays much attention to Linder other than a little pissing dog, a little gut-sick weedo weasel with Jew-ass cancer who runs around and is essentially reduced to attention whoring and nothing else. That's all. That's all. In any case, well, Northwest, he's gone ahead and left. In any case, that's what I'm predicting, is that Linder is already setting out means of, oh, pretty well just, oh, concealing what he's actually done. What he's actually done is he's going to be responsible for doing his best to send Mr. Harpham to prison, just like he did with Bill White, and all the time pretend he's, you know, Joe Snuffy's biggest friend, just like he did with, old bitch sits Bill. So folks, I'm really tired. I'm going to go ahead and make a break. I have quite a bit of material from trolling today over your liars and also going ahead and answering honestly, you know, my belief about August Christ. So I'm going to go ahead and call it a night. So folks, hail victory. May Yahweh bless. Good night.
Clad in black are we, hi-yi-oh-ho, and we'll stamp out the tyranny, hi-yi-oh-ho. White men go, revolt ho, on the city roof let the red cock grow. White men go, civil war ho, on the corn as long let red blood flow. When Adam delved and Eve defend, Kyrie-lay-i, all who was then the ruling man, Kyrie-lay-i. White men go, revolt ho, on the city roof let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns let red blood flow. For white men their rifles shoot, the Jews are laid low. On Zogling next we stomp our boots to stamp out Gazzo. White men go, revolt ho,
on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White may go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. The regime must only love its great hi-yi-yo-ho. The love of God our only need, hi-yi-yo-ho. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. We'll conquer for our cause is right, hi-yi-yo-ho. Our sons won't have to go and fight, hi-yi-yo-ho. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow.